I see you sitting there on that couch every damn day watching the fight, but never throwing a punch for the cause. We're in the ring for you. Now you get in it for us. I don't got a lot of money, but I give what I can. These bottles right here, they fuel the fight. Alex is out there swinging for us. Least I can do is swing back. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Of course, we got to have the champ on the show.
This sword has tasted blood, and it will taste more. Yeah! Attack!
Specimens have been specifically calibrated for the spread of Alpha Gal, a permanent curse on those who feast on the flesh of mammals. Real meat is finished. My ticks and mosquitoes will make sure of it. Eat the synthetic slop or starve.
Looks tasty, doesn't it?
Lord Vader, the rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance, and we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. Can we go to clip 50? Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? I wanted was clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and make the purchase now.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalist at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I've persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
New grape flavor bovine colostrum gummies. Yeah, baby. Yeah, these are the best. Support your gut with these grape gummies. Get yours now. All-new Groovy Grape Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh, yeah, baby. The globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast. For the resistance, get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby. The AlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well. We got a lot of stuff to cover today, including a whole morning's worth of... you know, nothing. A whole morning's worth of a whole bunch of hot air, a bunch of talking back and forth with basically war criminals guilty of crimes against humanity, the greatest attack on humankind the world has ever seen. Anthony Fauci, ringleader in this Holocaust, was paraded in front of the Senate today, and boy, did they wag their fingers. I mean, you've never seen disappointment like this. So, you know. I bet he's really regretting all of those lies that he told now that they've yelled at him, you know? Somebody's getting a meanly worded letter today, so you know he's shaking in his boots. Yeah, it's incredibly disappointing. We'll go over some clips. There were some highlights. We just won't spend too much time on it because nothing actually happened, because nothing ever actually happens. Nothing that should happen ever does. So we'll go to some of those clips, but maybe we'll set the table first. I do want to set the table a little bit first, not just to pat ourselves on the back. Now, I know I give this spiel a lot, but I got to make it clear. When I talk about how correct and, ahead of the curve we are, compared to literally any other outlet, left, right, center, independent, controlled. We're always first and we're always right. I don't say that in a braggadocious way. I don't say that just to pump ourselves up. I say that because it's important to understand that if we know what was going on, the people in power know what's going on. We don't have any special access to inside information. Everything I cover, for the most part, comes from mainstream media articles or, you know, at the very least, like, you know, right-wing organizations that we trust. But, you know, it's not like we're have a crystal ball. It's not like we're, you know, psychically observing Event 201 and, like, learning things that way. We just study what's happening. We look at the facts on the ground. We compare it to the statements that are made. And then we tell you what our assumptions are, what our beliefs are. And not only are we ahead of the curve, we're right. It's hard to be both of those things. It's very easy to be ahead of the curve if you're just wrong about everything. Very easy to just come out about things that don't exist and aren't happening and then move on to the next thing. There's a lot of people out there that's sort of their business model, not ours. We are both the first to report on things, and 10 years later, we have to sit here while everybody else comes to terms with what we knew the instant that it happened. So I could start here with a video from Washington, D.C., in February of 2021, when the COVID virus still only existed in China, and yet I gave a report in which I laid out the fact that it came from a lab, the fact that this would be used to bring about vaccine mandates, that there would be a lockdown coming. This was before the vast majority of people in America had even heard the word coronavirus or COVID. Certainly no mainstream media outlet had covered what was going on in China. Somehow we knew. Somehow, you know, Am I magical, or did I look at a map of the epicenter of the virus and go, there's a lab right here? Hey guys, I looked at the map, and right at the epicenter of the outbreak of the virus, there's something called the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It's a level 4 bioweapons lab with a history of safety mistakes. That's where it came from. I'm going to just come out on a limb and say that's where it came from, not the farmer's market down the road. Okay. That's what it took. That was it. This was our incredible insight. And I could show you, you know, that video from, again, like a, you know, couple months before it was announced to America that COVID existed, at a time in which, if we wanted to, we could have actually protected ourselves as a nation from COVID ever even getting to our shores. We chose not to do that. I could show you that. Instead, I'm going to show you the COVID-19 pitch meeting skit. You may have seen it before. And again, not just to puff ourselves up, but it's worth once again recognizing that the idea that Anthony Fauci's diaries are revealing anything new, that Anthony Fauci's emails uncovered something we didn't already know, it's all absurd. And so these videos, these reports, these skits, these shows that we do aren't just, you know, edifying and informing you at the time. They serve as historical markers. So we can go back and go, here we are in July of 2026, suddenly just learning all the truth about COVID that somehow we knew all the way back in 2022 when I made this skit. Here's the pitch meeting. I've just retweeted this. You can find it on my X account at Harrison H. Smith. Guys, we have the pitch meeting ready. All right, here it is. The COVID pitch meeting from all the way back, I believe in 2022 is when I made this. I'll double check, but here it is. Let's watch.
Good news.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we've rolled back the ban on gain-of-function research.
Really?
So now it's legal for us to modify viruses and make them more deadly and transmissible to humans.
Why would you want to do that?
Well, it's important that we be prepared in case something like that happened in the future.
In case somebody modifies a deadly virus to be more infectious and able to transmit to humans?
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah, sounds dangerous.
No, it's fine. We're doing it at a level 4 weapons research lab in Wuhan, China. Very secure.
Okay, good.
Terrible news.
Oh no.
There's been an outbreak of a mysterious new respiratory virus in Wuhan, China.
Wuhan, China? Like where the research lab is?
Yeah, exactly. Like right where the lab is.
So do you think it could have come from the lab?
But no, absolutely not. No. I see how you could make that mistake, but no. The virus, the deadly virus with the artificial furin cleavage sites that make it able to infect humans, that came from the farmer's market down the road from the dangerous bioweapons lab.
And you expect us to believe that?
I'll ban you from the internet if you don't.
Oh, God.
No need to worry. The global medical establishment's always preparing for these types of things. In fact, like 2 months ago, they held a course called Event 201, where they basically predicted exactly what would happen, right down to the type of virus and where it came from. So
they're like totally on top of this.
Actually, they're going to do nothing for months and let it spread all over the world.
But it started in China, right? Like, can't we at least halt travel with them?
I didn't realize you were a racist.
What?
Yeah, I didn't realize you had some deep, seething hatred of Asian people. And in fact, I think it's despicable.
Whoa, I'm talking about the virus.
Oh, the virus? It's here now.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, it came on a plane from China. There's nothing we could do.
Well, what do we know about the virus so far?
Not a lot, but we're going to go ahead and assume that it's the deadliest thing in the world and everybody's scared. We're all scared.
You didn't seem very worried about it when it was in China.
Well, no, I was calling you a racist then. That's what was important. But now we're very scared of the virus. Everybody's scared. You're scared.
Well, does it affect certain ages or populations or groups, anything like that?
Yeah, actually, it's way deadlier to the elderly and the sick.
Okay, well, why don't we start by protecting them?
No, we're actually going to send COVID-infected patients into nursing homes instead.
Jeez, well, what are you doing to stop the spread? UV lights, vitamin C, vitamin D, should I wear a mask?
We know that masks don't really stop you from getting this type of infection. The science is pretty much settled on this. Masks don't work.
Okay, so no mask.
Actually, they're mandatory, and also we're shutting down everything.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's called lockdown. I'm basically declaring martial law and saying that you can't leave your house or gather in large groups.
How do you think you're going to get people to go along with this?
Well, it's only for 2 weeks.
It's going to last forever, isn't it?
Maybe. And you're shutting everything down? Everything? Every restaurant? Every store?
Yep,
absolutely everything. Everything's shut down. We're all in this together. So like even like Walmart and Target? No, they can stay open. Okay, well, what about like McDonald's or Taco Bell? Obviously McDonald's and Taco Bell can stay open. Okay, so the big chain stores can stay open, but if a small business tries to stay open, we will send a tank and point a rifle in their face and maybe send them to jail. But it's only for 2 weeks or years or whatever. I mean, won't that crash the economy? Oh yeah, 100%, for sure. Okay, but this stops the virus. It does not, no. Okay, other than masks that don't work and lockdowns that don't work, is there anything else you suggest that we do? Oh, I'm not suggesting anything. I'm imposing plastic barriers and social distancing as well. Okay, so those work. No, of course not. It's ridiculous. Just think about it. But we do encourage contact tracing, where you download our app to your phone and then use it to log everywhere you go and everything you do and everyone you interact with. It sounds like a precursor to vaccine passports. No way. That's crazy. Hey, by the way, we sent a investigative team to figure out the origins of the virus. Oh, so you're investigating the lab? No. Okay, well, who are you sending to investigate? The guy who runs the lab. Yeah, this sounds suspicious. It's not. I mean, the whole thing sounds sketchy. Nothing you're saying really makes any sense, and it seems like the same people imposing the masks and lockdowns are the same people that are benefiting from it, and it seems like it's going to have way worse long-term effects than the virus itself. I mean, all of this seems arbitrary and expensive. Well, it's only until we get the vaccine, and actually it's going to be a wonderful, revolutionary new mRNA vaccine. So, you know, thank God we have Bill Gates helping us with this. Bill Gates, isn't he the one who thinks the most pressing issue the Earth faces is overpopulation and that the best way to reduce population is through vaccines? Didn't he give a TED talk to that effect? No, shut up. He loves you.
Yeah, that's it, folks. Look, you don't have to think it's funny. You don't have to enjoy it. You do have to recognize that somehow, we knew. We knew it came from a lab. We knew it wasn't deadly to, you know, normal people. We knew the whole time. This was published sometimes around February 2022 originally. So here we are, 4 years in, still pretending like we don't know this as an absolute fact, and still completely befuddled, I have no idea what is going on with the left. I've seen multiple videos. TMZ came out with a video. Mehdi Hassan made a big post. They're so concerned. They must protect Father Fauci, Dr. Science himself. How dare you? How dare you do this witch hunt against this good doctor who saved all of our lives? You absolute fools. You scumbags. He lied to you. He didn't lie to me. I mean, he lied to me, but we didn't fall for it. I don't get it. And you would think at least a few people might. And this is where I give credit to people like Jimmy Dore, even though he's on the left, even though we have our differences, you might say. You know, when it comes down to I was lied to about my health, America was driven into depression and inflation and corporate monopoly and lockdown nonsense, ruining the lives of children. And this happened for the benefit of major corporations, for the benefit of the intelligence agencies. Getting access to your every waking moment, putting every child in America on a government-issued Chromebook so Google can track all of their information in their social-emotional learning database. Thank God some leftists, some people out there who have some sense of genuine concern about the well-being of the American people are able to break out of the programming. Jimmy Dore is one of them, and there's a few more, but many, many more cases of people refusing to acknowledge what we all know now. And this is that report from all the way back in January of 2021, where once again I reported on not just the existence of COVID, but the fact it came from a lab, that vaccine mandates were coming, that lockdowns were almost certainly going to happen on American shores, and that we had an opportunity to prevent it from ever getting to American shores. But nobody listens to us. So here we are. 5 years later from that, with Anthony Fauci on the stand, refusing to answer questions. So in case you're not aware, the man has invoked the Fifth Amendment, trying to come up with a funny way to say it, more times than he told you to get boosters, something like that. 111 times. The man invoked the Fifth Amendment 111 times. During his congressional testimony, which is kind of a shame, a bit of a shame, because it turns out apparently that's whoops. Well, now we can't do anything about it. can't do anything about it, apparently, which is weird, because you would think that having the man who presided over and played the biggest, most prominent, most visible role in a literal crime against humanity mass murder event, you'd think you'd be able to do more than just ask him to admit that he's a criminal. Because that's basically where we're at. Where once again, and I keep commenting on this phenomenon because it keeps arising, are there guidelines? I want to know if there are guidelines. Who are the people that their permission is required to punish them? Because there's a certain class of people, Anthony Fauci's a part of it, where for some reason, because he won't admit that he's a criminal, we just can't do anything about it. It's weird. It's like, it's as if the people in power think if we just get him to admit what he did, then we can punish him. Why would you have to wait? Now, there's the instance of the pardon, the blanket pardon, which, okay, that on its own might raise suspicions. Why was he pardoned? Well, because Donald Trump was going to go after him, persecute him politically. Really? Because Donald Trump seems to be his biggest fan still. I think it was because of all the crimes he committed. Other people, of course, that he was associated with, that he worked with, were not pardoned. They could now be brought in and questioned. You can actually get him on contempt of Congress, which he was not pardoned for refusing to answer these questions. There are lots of methods and mechanisms through which Anthony Fauci could be held accountable. None of them are being invoked. None of them are being utilized. And I have absolutely no hope that they ever will be. That's just me. But again, if you're looking at Donald Trump, he said this earlier today. Many more people died of COVID under the Biden administration than under the Trump administration. Operation Warp Speed was a spectacular success. In fact, many say one of the most successful things ever done by an American president. I overrode Fauci on this. His ideas were something. Also, I said from the very beginning of the virus came from Wuhan laboratory in China. Fauci strongly disagreed, always trying to protect China. I inherited Fauci, who was there since the 1980s, but with each passing day relied less and less on him. He made too many bad calls, like on masks. Remember at the beginning he was anti-masker, then he switched to a super masker. In any event, I didn't let him shut the country down, although he wanted to. I went the Federalist way and let the governors decide. The Republican governors did a much better job than the Democrats. Democrats, you get it. No, well, it's like the real word is Democrats, but if you switch the E, for, you know what, you either get it or you don't, okay? The man's a comedian. Sorry, where was I? The Republican governors did a much better job than the Democrats. Fauci was largely taken out of play, and then came along Sleepy Joe Biden, who made Fauci a king. I called Biden to tell him Fauci was no good. Either didn't have a clue or was dishonest. The call was well received, but sadly not acted on. Biden went on to give Fauci vast destructive power. The rest is history. President DJT. Well, press X to doubt. You gave him a Medal of Honor. You gave him a Presidential Medal of Honor, sir. You allowed him to stay in office. You never fired him. You listened to him. You took his advice. Later, apparently, according to the diary, he was mad at Fauci and, you know, yelled at him and felt like he tricked him. Let him stay in power. Let him keep making statements. Let him present himself as the face of science itself. And that never substantially mitigated his authority to make orders or do anything. But as you know, we laid out yesterday, when you see the diary or the emails where he's advising Bill de Blasio, or he's commenting on how Gavin Newsom used the speech that he gave to justify school lockdowns, and you understand that this was, deliberate or not, a distributed blame operation, where the orders didn't really come from anywhere. And Anthony Fauci could make suggestions, but he didn't have any power, and the governors would have the power and then, you know, actually put these suggestions into place, but they were just going off the recommendations, and the people making the recommendations weren't actually imposing the restrictions. So, gosh, who do you blame in all this? Of course, the simple answer is literally all of them. They should all be in jail temporarily, until they can be hung for treason, okay, as is the law. Again, not to, like, blow it out of the water, you know, not to be, like, taking it to the nth degree and going extreme for no reason. They killed millions of people. Like, what are we doing here? The COVID virus itself, however many people that killed. And I still have people on my Twitter saying, that COVID didn't exist. The only thing I have to ask is, like, why could I not taste anything for 3 months? Unless you can explain how the flu all of a sudden knocked out your taste buds for 3 months. Like, I thought I would never get it back. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember eating and not tasting anything and just crazy mass formation psychosis? So, you think that's why? Wait, is Cruz saying it was mass? I was the subject of mass psychosis. I get it. See, I was tricked into believing that there was a virus, and then my own brain made me stop tasting things for a while. That's what you're going with. No, I mean, look, I don't know if it was isolated. I don't know if viruses are real or if their terrain theory is real. People talk to me like I don't know this stuff. I know all of it. I just have experience in the real world. And when my kid is sick, my other kid gets sick, something's happening there. There's some sort of transfer. There's some sort of, ability to transfer viruses. Like, this is one of those things. People who don't believe in viruses are not able to explain some very simple things like transmissibility. So, okay, believe what you want. I don't care. You can believe there's not viruses, and I'm an idiot for believing in viruses. That's fine. I approve. I approve of your belief in that. However, my stance, as always, has been the virus was real. It was made in a lab. It was released on purpose. The lockdowns were extended in order to get the mail-in ballots to seal the 2020 election because this was all one giant plot by the rulers of the world who benefited in a million different ways, screwed all of us over, and in many ways planted a time bomb, many time bombs. They planted the time bomb of infinite inflation, just ruining us economically, but also almost like a terrorist surgeon planting little time bombs in the hearts of their victims who believed their lies and thought they had their best interests in mind, many of whom have now died or will soon die from myocarditis or any number of other mysterious illnesses that suddenly saw a giant spike right after the vaccine rolled out, but we're confused where it came from. It's just time we stop all playing. It's time we all stop playing stupid. Now, not going to spend the whole show on this. I will spend the first hour on this. I'll show you clips on the other side. There are some good ones, I have to say. Rand Paul actually has security remove one of Anthony Fauci's co-defenders or whoever this guy is. That was pretty cool. I'll show you those clips. I'll show you the big bombshell clips from earlier today on the other side. But I also want to tell you that we have two massive guests coming up. We have Carlin Borashenko, who, of course, we played her video yesterday if you saw that. But she is one of the only people online that I'm aware of who's actually tracking in real time the developments, the strategies, the intentions of the left in this country, the extreme left, the Antifa left, who, you know, when they're not in power, conservatives kind of ignore, you know, unless it's like shoved down our throat, unless it's like a Black Lives Matter style nationwide continual riot for months on end. We don't really pay attention. Not a lot of other places covering right now the Black Lives Matter gathering, confab, insurrectionary zone happening in Madison, Wisconsin. But Carlin Borashenko has been keeping up on that. Very excited to talk to her. We'll also be talking to Lionel Nation, in the third hour, about probably any number of topics since he is in many ways an expert on a lot of stuff we'll be talking about today. I don't know if we have, is there a video we have that we can do? Well, we only got 30 seconds left in this. So let me tell you folks to go to thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be back on the other side with more of those videos, and we'll be basically commercial free after this for the rest of the hour. Thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let him know who sent you. And look, none of our products treat COVID. I'll tell you that right now. Nothing at all. I would never make that claim ever. But find out what it can do for you by going to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Incredible products, incredible prices. Keep us on air and in the fight. We'll be right back.
I don't have to sell you on bovine colostrum. Almost everybody knows for decades and decades, doctors recommend it to patients. It's been all the rage. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that come from a cow or any other mammal. It's not normal milk. It's not white. It's clear. It's full of all these peptides and amino acids and growth factors and things that literally accelerate tissue repair, and so much more. But the issue is our bovine colostrum is a private label of the top rated brand in the country. They let us put our label on it, and we sell it for a little bit less than it's sold in stores. And then you're funding our operation. It's a total 360 win. But here's where I dropped the ball. I've been promoting this bovine colostrum for almost a year since our sponsor, Big Lee, came out with it. And I just basically talk about, hey, it's great for your hair, great for your skin, you know, great for all of that. But that's just what you see on the surface. Yeah, your fingernails are thicker. They grow quicker. Women, you know, since the 60s have been taking it. But if it's doing that to the outside, what is it doing to the inside? So I wanted to just read some of the things that's in bovine colostrum and explain to you how ours is 4 times stronger than the average stuff on the market and at least twice as strong as leading competitors. It's cold pressed. It's never been homogenized either or boiled or heated up to 250 degrees. So it keeps the cofactors alive. It's super concentrated. One little scoop from the powder is your daily intake, and it's amazing. But now our sponsors come out with these great naturally flavored grape gummies that has a full day concentrated allowance in each gummy. So let me now read to you just some of the ingredients and what it does. The vast majority of colostrum products, again, are flavorless, but the key is they are only 10 to 20% IgG. Ours is 40% IgG. That's double to quadruple the potency of the competitors. And it's a delicious, all-natural, grape-flavored gummy. So it habituates it. People love it and want to keep taking it. Immune Health IgG and Lactoferrin Defense. IgG immunoglobulins are the body's primary antibody defense. Colostrum's natural lactoferrin is a potent antimicrobial protein that binds iron and inhibits pathogen growth. Together, they prime and strengthen the immune system year-round, starting with the gut, and it's good for all the rest of the body and the organs. Gut support integrity. Colostrum contains growth factors IGF-1 and EGF. These help repair and maintain the gut lining. This makes it especially valuable for anyone dealing with leaky gut, digestive discomfort, or looking to optimize nutrient absorption. It's great for young people, but really essential for old folks. Because as you get older, the gut absorbs less and less. The bioactive peptides and growth factors in colostrum support faster tissue repair and lean muscle recovery after exercise, making these gummies a smart addition to any active lifestyle or fitness routine. And again, this is a 40% concentration. You're not going to find that anywhere else. Each gummy is 600 milligram concentrate of the highest quality bovine colostrum. That's not some little petty dose. That is a big dose that will give you big results. And of course, the colostrum are from good old cows right here in the USA. Ladies and gentlemen, if you love the powder, you're going to love the gummies. It's an incredible product. What it does for you internally is even bigger than what it does for your hair, your nails, and your skin. So get the powder and get the grape gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air. Be healthier. Have a better life. A true 360 win. Thank you for your support. And the gummies are discounted for a limited time out of the gates. Again, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, War Room Live is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Very big show we have for you today. A couple great guests coming up in the next couple of hours. But I'm going to spend this segment showing you videos of the interrogation of Anthony Fauci, the clown show, the big nonsense gathering they had in Washington, D.C. Not that we expected anything else. Not that we were rubbing our hands looking for, oh man, they're going to question him and he's going to have to answer and he's going to be, no, it was never going to happen. It was never going to happen because Anthony Fauci is the face. He is the spokesperson. Behind him stands phalanx upon phalanx of intelligence agency all around the world who conspired together during Event 201 to bring all of this about in the first place. Behind them, perhaps intermingled with them, are the corporate masters who brought this about. Moderna and Pfizer, and of course, all the ones who benefited from the lockdowns, Amazon, Target, all these big, obviously BlackRock. they won't let Anthony Fauci go down. They just won't. We could take him down. I mean, it could happen. I truly believe that with enough will, with enough forward movement, the Republicans could actually get justice for this. But as it stands now, with the tools that the Republicans seem willing to actually utilize, I have absolutely no hope in the establishment holding Anthony Fauci's feet to the fire. This whole thing has become an utter farce. Let's go to clip number one now. This was posted by Rand Paul. And yes, it makes a mockery of Anthony Fauci himself, but in a lot of ways, it's making a mockery of all of us and our institutions and the very concept that our government exists for the benefit of the people or to bring about justice and level punishment on evildoers. It's a mockery of the entire underlying foundation of our system. It's all unspooling right in front of us. Let's go to clip number one now.
Under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions. Thank you.
The red folder on your table is a copy of Section 192 of Title II of the U.S. Code. Your counsel has been provided a copy as well. That section makes it a crime for a witness appearing under subpoena to refuse to answer any questions pertinent to the question under inquiry. Do you have that in front of you?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Let the record record that the witness has refused to answer whether there's a folder in front of him based on his Fifth Amendment right.
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
But the attorneys are not recognized. In fact, the attorney was told not to sit at the table, and he's not obeying that recommendation. There's a row behind you, sir. That's where you were told to sit, and you're not. And now you're disrupting the proceedings. And so, look, this is the way Anthony Fauci wants to be remembered, for a lawyer not listening to the rules. That's the way you want to be remembered, and that's what you're going to do. You are not recognized, sir. Security, please remove him from the room.
Fauci's lawyer being forcibly removed by security.
We still have the advice of the other half a dozen attorneys that he brought along today.
Under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your question. On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
Well, that was basically it. I mean, that you know, we could basically end our coverage of the questioning right now, because that was most of the highlights. It's a lot of invoking the Fifth Amendment. There was a lot of waffling. I mean, there was that dramatic moment where Rand Paul ordered security. Security removed this man from the proceedings. It's cool. It's cool to see Republicans utilize their power. But that's what the chairman is for, right? That's what you can do. You've got that authority. You're the man in charge. You don't have to be the biggest. You don't have to be the strongest. There's a bunch of big, strong dudes that have to do what you say. So you say, hey, arrest that man. And they arrest him. Which is sort of the frustration. Because you realize that is literally how easy it would be to also arrest Anthony Fauci. Like you saw there, and I won't worry about playing the clip again, but maybe we can to give it a little bit more context. But long story short, Rand Paul is like, this guy's not allowed to be here. The guy kept interrupting him. He kept saying, you're not recognized. And you just say, you know what? Enough of this. Security, remove this man. I don't need to argue with him. I'm the chairman. He's not allowed to do this. I don't care what he has to say. Get him out of here. And they did. And then the disruption was over. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how that worked? The next step should have been Rand Paul saying, Anthony Fauci, you're not allowed to invoke the Fifth Amendment. You're in contempt of Congress. Arrest this man. You know they've got jail cells in the Capitol for this exact situation. Now, you could say, well, what would you hold him on? How would you charge him? You can figure that out. You can figure that out later. First things first, use your power as the chairman with the authority over the men with guns. Tell them to arrest Anthony Fauci. Then play it by ear. Then figure it out from there. Not that complicated. Steve Bannon went to jail on contempt. Roger Stone went to jail on contempt. A lot of Republicans have gone to jail on contempt on a hell of a lot less, you know, verifiable charges. Very tenuous, the things that they threw Trump's allies into jail on because they wouldn't comport themselves exactly the way that Democrats wanted them to, or they slipped up on some minor detail about an unimportant discussion they had with FBI agents, and it was treated as the deepest perjury. Meanwhile, the man who presided over the destruction of our country during COVID is allowed to plead the fifth, although he's not really allowed to, but he did. It's a little complicated. You know, some people, the rules don't apply to them. Fauci's one of them, as we've learned. Let's go now to Senator Josh Hawley, reminding Anthony Fauci he cannot actually legally invoke the Fifth Amendment. See, the Fifth, and this is the thing. Do we know why the Fifth Amendment exists? Has anybody bothered to talk to the children about what these things mean? I think people understand the Fifth Amendment. They understand it means you don't have to talk to the cops if you don't want to. I've watched enough, you know, cop shows to see some of the least informed people in our country. They understand what the Fifth Amendment is. They know how to keep their mouth shut. So why do we have it? So what's the purpose of it? Why would you write a law in which your civilians could withhold information that the government needs to, like, fix crimes? Why would you do that? You do that as a barrier for government overreach. It is a strict, not just guideline, but rule. It is a law. You cannot force people to testify. Why? Well, for one thing, that's not how you get the best information. If you force people to say what they know, you know, they end up coming up with stuff they don't actually know. It's confusing. It also, you know, if you can force somebody, how far does that go? Can you torture them? Can you withhold freedom from them until they talk to you? It gets a little murky there. So we have a hard and fast rule that is there for the protection of innocent civilians from abuse by their government. That's what it's for. That's why it was created. That's the purpose behind it. It is not just an arbitrary rule like a Monopoly game book. You got to, like, well, you just, that's what happens. No. There are moral imperatives behind the things denoted in the Bill of Rights. If we don't understand that, suddenly we get to a point where a employee of the government who used his authority as a figure in the government to abuse the American people, to abuse innocent civilians, to lie to them, to manipulate them, to get them to do what they otherwise wouldn't do, they had to be tricked into doing. He now gets to invoke the Fifth Amendment to protect himself, when the whole time he was operating as a spokesman for the government. So really it's the government that's on trial. He's just the figurehead that was out front saying the stuff. That's not what this is for. That's not what the Fifth Amendment is for. It doesn't apply to this. And it shouldn't apply to this. This is not a witch hunt. This should be a criminal proceeding. I don't even know why this is happening in the Congress. Would Joe Biden bother doing this? Would Merrick Garland bother waiting for, you know, Cory Booker to question one of their enemies? No, they blackbag him in the middle of the night. If the sides were flipped, Anthony Fauci would have been in jail for the last 5 years. and be eagerly awaiting the upcoming trial, right? He wouldn't have even gone to trial yet. They just throw him into solitary confinement for a couple years like they did to the QAnon shaman, Stuart Rhodes, Enrique Tarrio, Brandon Straka. I don't know what we need to do to get Republicans to do something. I don't know what it takes to get it across. I believe in Rand Paul's sincerity. I question his impotence. Does he really not have any ability to do anything about this? You can't actually bring charges. You can't actually give this to the Justice Department and say, you got to try this guy. And hey, you know what? Maybe the pardon holds up. Maybe it doesn't. You got to try. This is another thing with Republicans. It's kind of like, you know, Democrats do whatever they can. You have to actually stop them, and Republicans never really do stop them. But they don't concern themselves with whether it's legal what they're doing, whether there's a precedent set to do what they're doing. They just sort of do it. We could take a page from that notebook, and hey, the pardon comes through, so a couple years from now, it turns out Anthony Fauci goes free because it's been litigated up to the Supreme Court, and they've decided that, in fact, a machine can write Joe Biden's signature on a open-ended blanket pardon for crimes that have never been tried before. Okay, maybe it makes a way through the Supreme Court and they decide on Fauci's favor, in which case you got to undo the prosecution you just spent a couple years doing. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, let's do that then. Let's do that. Arrest Fauci, try him, convict him, let him appeal, and if it goes up to the Supreme Court and it turns out that they side with him, great. At least he will have spent a couple years and millions of dollars defending his freedom. At least he will have spent some time in a jail cell like Steve Bannon or Roger Stone or Owen Schroyer or anybody else in Trump's circle. Every one of his lawyers, Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, all of them. Don't, you can't tell me it's not possible. You can't tell me that it's not something the government can do. We all saw them do it. They just won't do it for Fauci because he's protected. Because he's the head of a giant intelligence operation. Let's go now to clip 27. This is Senator Josh Hawley reminding Anthony Fauci he actually doesn't have the legal right to invoke the Fifth Amendment, which is interesting because he keeps invoking the Fifth Amendment. So what are you talking about, Josh Hawley? He invokes the Fifth Amendment. He's not arrested. What's going on? Let's watch.
Let's just get one thing straight. You don't have any rights under the Fifth Amendment because you've been pardoned, as you very well know. As the Supreme Court has been clear for a century and more, Brown versus Walker, 1896, when he has been pardoned, he may not stand upon his privilege. You know that. Your lawyers sitting behind you now shifting nervously in their chairs, they know it. This isn't about the Constitution. This isn't about the law. This is about contempt. Contempt for this body and contempt for the American people. But I think I know why you're doing it. It's because you don't want to answer questions. It's because you did all kinds of terrible things. It's because during the pandemic, you got rich, didn't you? You got rich while people were dying, hundreds of thousands of Americans, over a million in the end, and you were getting rich. And not only were you doing that, you were using federal employees with taxpayer money to apply for and solicit cash prizes for you personally. Cash prizes totaling over $1 million. You did all of that during the pandemic, didn't you? That's a question.
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
What is there to say? What is there to say? This is not helpful. It's not useful. You know, the funny thing is to imagine, what if he hadn't invoked the Fifth right then? What if he said, yeah, I did that? What would happen? Nothing? Bunch of nothing? Like, he didn't even need to invoke the Fifth. I'm kind of surprised he did. As we know from his diary, his dear diary, his trapper keeper. You know, he's a bit of a narcissist. He's a bit self-obsessed. He's a bit egotistical. He loves the spotlight. That may be why he showed up in the first place, but it's kind of surprising that he didn't take this opportunity to stand on a soapbox and, you know, talk down to that. You can tell he wanted to. He didn't want to take the Fifth. I just, you know, this is what I mean. It's like, do you need him to admit it? If he did admit it, then you would arrest him? No? Like, why did he invoke the Fifth right there? He could have just said, yeah, I did that. I did, and you have proof I did. Doesn't matter. I mean, we do have proof that he did that. You know? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like if it was a murder case, and Josh Hawley's like, hey, we have the video of you murdering him. We have the bloody weapon in your possession. We have, you know, your confession that you thought was secret, but actually was taped. So we have that, right? The emails, the diaries, all this stuff that he admitted. We have all of this evidence. So you killed him, didn't you? And the guy's just like, yeah, I plead the Fifth. And it's like, ah, dang it. All right, well, never mind. You're free to go then. Goodbye, you know? Why wouldn't he just go, yeah, you got me. I did it. What would the outcome? It wouldn't be any different. Would Anthony Fauci have been arrested if he said yes to that answer? Absolutely not. So what is this little song and dance? What is this clip farming for Sean Hannity? It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't even convince anybody. Here's the other thing. You know what actually may have been at least moderately useful? Instead of just throwing accusations at him that he can just brush away with the Fifth Amendment, what if you spent the time that you have to question Fauci to simply list item by item all of the proof that we know about him lying, what that lie meant, who he told the lie to? Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there watching right now. They're convinced this is a partisan witch hunt. You know what doesn't disabuse them of that idea? When Josh Hawley treats this like a partisan witch hunt. When he shouts a bunch of sort of disconnected, not well explained accusations, something about $1 million, a prize thing, I'm sure he's accurate what he's talking about, but doesn't inform anybody, doesn't tell anybody, doesn't convince anybody. So I'm in a particularly good clip at the end of the day. So why wouldn't you just like sit there and go, on this date you said this, 2 days later on television you said this, that was a lie, wasn't it? On the Fifth Amendment, you don't need to say Fifth Amendment, I'll just keep going. On this day you said this in your diary, you said this on TV the next day, that's also a lie, you lied to the American people again at that point, right? Don't answer, I'll keep going. Like, that's how you do it. So then you put the clip up and you tag leftists and you go, you don't care? You don't care you fell for this scumbag's lies? Maybe that would wake people up. I don't know. Maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree. Maybe I'm a hopeless optimist, you know, a starry-eyed optimist thinking that anything could still change the left's mind. But you could try. You could at least try. You could not feed into their primitive understanding of what's going on. Fauci, good guy. People questioning him, bad guy. And the people questioning him just sort of inarticulately shout. And it's like, yeah, you're not convincing anybody, which is unfortunate. I'm once again saying, on the advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based on the rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, which apparently he doesn't have, but he did keep invoking it. Which, once again, just like everything, and I hate repeating myself over and over, but if we had an informed, intelligent, you know, respectable population, like, this would be anathema. This would discredit him in the eyes of everybody. Because who would want to be under a government of weasels like this? They can't answer a single question. He's out there soaking in the spotlight, reveling in the attention when he's in the unquestionable avatar of science. But the instant he's actually put to hard questions about the lies that he told, he suddenly shrinks into the shadows and doesn't want to be known. Is that not something that should infuriate and cause not just suspicion, but arriving at the conclusion that this guy is not trustworthy, not to be trusted, certainly should not have any hand in anything having to do with health or profit or the combination thereof. A normal, functional country with adult human beings with brains would be able to see the former head of the NIH, who ran the health industry in America for 30 years, refusing to answer simple questions. And they would say, this is really bad. We need to do something about this. This guy is clearly criminal of some sort. Even if I liked him, even if I thought he was trying his best, this display should be enough to discredit him. But the American people believe everything they're told. And what they're being told is that this is a witch hunt, and that Anthony Fauci is an innocent hero of science that is now being bullied by big, mean Rand Paul because Rand Paul wants everybody's grandmother to die of COVID or something. I don't know what they're telling each other, but it's lies. Regardless, it's lies. Let's go to clip number 42. And I hate to even do this because this is another example of sound and fury signifying nothing. Here's Senator Bernie Moreno asking Dr. Fauci some very poignant questions. Let's watch.
Mr. Fauci, do you know who David Shirtler is?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. What does the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution say?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
No, I'm just asking you what it says.
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
I'm going to give the Constitution to my aide. He'll bring it over to you so you can have it for future reference. I think it's something that every American should know what the Constitution says. Do you know who wrote the Fifth Amendment?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
So you're invoking a right that you don't know who wrote it or what it says. Is that correct?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Wow, indeed. I did like that. Oh, you're invoking the Fifth Amendment. Can you tell us what it says? You'd think you'd be able to answer that, at least, at the very least. Here's more from Senator Moreno here.
Can you do me a favor in the audience and stand up if during the time of the COVID pandemic, you were called a racist for calling the virus a Wuhan virus or the China virus? If you thought the 6-foot rule was total crap, if you thought the vaccine wasn't something that you should take, if you thought it was outrageous the way the mask policy was rolled out, if you were fired from your job for not taking that vaccine, including members of the military, if you thought closing schools was catastrophically stupid, and that you thought that during these times saying these things made you somehow a lesser human being. Dr. Fauci, can you just turn around and look at the people behind you? You're not willing to do that? That's not a question. It's not a question. To your lawyer, it's not a question. It's a request. All you have to do is look up from your lawyers and look at the people who were absolutely shamed for saying what we know now to be the truth. You can't even look at them? It was about 6 years ago today that I decided I'm going to give up my businesses, sell them all, run for office, run for the United States Senate. Here I am sitting in front of doing that. It is a total disgrace what you did to this country.
Well, that's it. Problem solved. Problem solved, folks. They'll never do another big virus lockdown ever again. He cursed at them. He said a curse word at them, so pretty sure that's justice right there. Justice is done. We can all move on now, right? What a ridiculous charade. Carlin Borischenko joins me on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started. Or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground.
miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You can call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Claim from Fauci is that the COVID was natural and that came from bats. He was saying this publicly, while behind the scenes, he knew different.
The sequences in bats as they evolve and the mutations that it took to get to the point where it is now is totally consistent with a jump of a species from an animal to a human.
Here's the truth. Only two of the 12 scientists who he was talking with thought that that was the case, and Fauci knew it. He wrote in his diary, there was not total agreement about the likelihood of deliberate insertion. Ron Fouché said he was sure that this could occur naturally, and we should not waste our time and divert effort to pursue this. This is expected of him since he was original GOF person with Yoshi Kawoka. Also, Christian Drosten was with Ron. The rest felt that deliberate insertion was possible. Here's the next claim. Is it an exploding bat? Again, this is what he was claiming publicly versus what he knew behind the scenes at that moment in time. It's not he did the best with what we had. He lied about what we had. It could not be more clear. He said publicly the virus could have, in many cases, very originated in a wet market.
Beijing acknowledges now that they don't think it originated in that market.
Well, it may not have originated in the market, but it certainly could have. I mean, I don't think that they admitted that it didn't originate in the market. I think they're saying they
admitted.
Don't know how it originated.
Look at his face.
I didn't get new talking points.
Yeah. Well, there were clusters that may have been picked up and transmitted, as I understand it, through the market.
Yeah.
But the place of origin was not within the market itself.
No, I don't think you could say that. I don't think you can say that.
Here's the truth. She can say it because Fauci said it. And China said it 2 years earlier than that interview. Fauci said, I don't think you can say what I said in private and was agreed upon by the Chinaman. Sure she can.
Yeah, his face looked like, how did you know that?
How did you?
Who did you talk to?
Where'd you get more soup?
January 2020. Check the references. Fauci wrote, early on, the Chinese were saying that there is no human-to-human transmission, and all the original 27 cases were from the market. Now we know the market was not the source. It was the amplifier. George was very sensitive and understandably defensive since he was the one who said early on that there was no human-to-human transmission and that the original 27 cases specifically enumerated in my diary, 27 cases in the wet market reported on December 31st, 2019 were animal-to-human when actually all 27 cases were human-to-human transmission. Oh, sorry, they were occurring before, weeks before. Here's the next claim versus what he was claiming publicly versus what he knew privately. The claim that the NIH never funded gain of function at Wuhan. It's not that we've been arguing about this. It's that he acknowledged it and lied.
Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute.
Here's the truth. They conducted it. They funded it. Fauci recorded it.
Oh.
He just tries to claim in that it doesn't meet the technical definition. So here's him actually writing about it. He writes, EcoHealth was late in submitting a progress report of their grant. I should specify in writing for those who don't understand that grant means financial compensation.
Money.
Progress report of their grant and mentioned in the letter that some of the mice in the study had increased in viral growth and got sicker. Later on, he goes, in other words, by our definition, them getting sicker with the virus we use being funded by NIH was not gain of function.
From our shirts, Cletus.
Yeehaw! Look at that! Hell yeah!
We matched!
I think they liked us. We should go back!
Kunda-ha!
AlexJonesStore.com, your one-stop shop for exclusive deals and products. Visit the site now and save big.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We are coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, AlexJonesLive.com. You can also find us on X at AJNLive. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. You can also go to Real Alex Jones. And of course, the Alex Jones store.com is where you go to support us. I'm very, very excited to have my guest, Carlin Boroshenko. I did it, Carlin. I got your name right. I don't know. I develop a learning disability with Carlin Boroshenko's name. I always want to read it, Carolyn, but I got it right that time and I should have just moved on coolly. Carlin Boroshenko is an analyst and independent journalist covering the far left in America. Over the last 5 years, she's going undercover with Antifa all over the country, infiltrating hundreds of online leftist meetings and has secretly recorded thousands of hours of their discussions to expose their language and how they're organizing. You can follow her on X at Dr. Carlin B. Dr. Carlin, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Harrison. How are you?
I'm doing very well. But, you know, normally when I have a guest on, you know, before they come on, I get the different articles that they're coming on to talk about together. Here's the problem. Nobody's reporting on what you report on. I go through Drudge, nothing there. There's nothing on Postmillennial. There's nothing on Gateway Pundit. There's nothing anywhere about what you're covering, which is what's going on in Madison, as well as the behind the scenes organization being done by the left. You are a unique voice out there, which is why I think it's important to highlight your work. Tell us, what are you covering these days?
Yeah, I mean, it is absolutely mind-blowing to me that no one else is covering this. About a week ago, I covered what I thought was going to be a small protest in Madison, Wisconsin, in response to a police shooting of a black criminal who owed over $50,000 in child support, has beat multiple women, is not a good guy, was resisting arrest, and then stabbed a police officer with a giant chef knife, and then he got himself shot. And of course, the entire leftist infrastructure in Madison, Wisconsin, has responded with a Black Lives Matter protest. And I thought it was going to be a relatively small protest when I decided to cover it live. And then I showed up and there were 2,000 people there on a Wednesday afternoon in Madison, Wisconsin. And I said, okay, this might be a little bit of a bigger problem than I originally thought. And almost immediately in Madison, they started building a little autonomous zone in the middle of the city in which they were erecting a shrine to this guy that got shot by the police. And they've now taken over several city blocks. And the most mind-boggling thing to me is literally no one else is talking about this. We are seeing the start of what could be potentially BLM part two, and no one seems to care.
It is so bizarre. And even just the way you laid it out there, it's like, this is like a ceremony we do now. If the cops kill a black man, you have to clear out a section of your city and build a shrine and do a religious ordination or something. It's so bizarre. 'Cause yeah, if you read the case, I mean, George Floyd, I think we all agree, like, we don't have the actual facts on the record about that. I don't believe he was killed by the police. You can debate about it. The video looked bad, whatever. In this case, the dude stabbed a cop. It's like, and you expect them to, what, politely ask he stop? It's so crazy that this is the type of, you know, police killing that gets mass support. What is it about this case that is drawing so much attention? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, it's not about this case in particular. It's not even about this person in particular. This is what the left does. Every time they have an opportunity to make the case to abolish the police or defund the police, they are going to do it. And if they have to lift up a criminal martyr in order to do it, then they have no problem doing that. Because what you have to understand about the far left is abolishing and defunding the police is one of their central organizing tenets. It is the thing that they will never give up on because they believe that the police are the protectors of capitalist society and they can't overthrow capitalism without getting rid of the police. So this just happened to be an opportune moment for them to take advantage of, and they absolutely have.
And obviously, maybe one of the reasons it's not getting as much attention is because the right wing is like looking for ICE protests. Like it almost seems weird that they're protesting Black Lives Matter. It's like, I thought we moved on to ICE at this point. But obviously it's the same people driven by a lot of the same motives. I'm sure you're seeing a lot of overlap between the ICE protests that we've been seeing over the last couple of years and the protests happening here. How do these two groups play with each other?
Yeah, that's a great question. To the far left, these two things are actually one and the same. And so, of course, they've been doing anti-ICE organizing for about a year and a half now. This has been going on all across the country. But what people need to understand about the language of the left is the left hates the police for exactly the same reason they hate ICE. ICE are the protectors of capitalism because they are protectors of the border. The border represents capitalism to the left. They hate the police because the police are the managers of private property. That's their definition of capitalism. And so for the left, of course, they're going to take advantage of an opportunity to kind of get one of their biggest enemies in, which again, the police, ICE to them are one and the same. So yeah, this is exactly the same protest. It's just being framed a little bit differently.
And it's obviously not getting attention from the right as we've been complaining about. And you've been doing a great job, you know, on your own. And literally, I think you're the only person I've heard talk about this. Literally, I think you're the only one, but that includes people on the left too. Am I just missing things or are the left kind of treating this in a little bit more of a low key way as well?
Oh, no, the left is totally on top of this. In fact, I mean, one of the things that's so funny about this is people might remember that giant BLM fist statue that was in Minnesota in George Floyd Square in 2020. They actually shipped that giant statue to Madison, Wisconsin, and it is currently erected in the autonomous zone in Madison, Wisconsin. We're going to be able to see it in this video. I think there's been video of it. I'm not sure if you guys have the right one. But yeah, that fist is in Madison right now, and they're actually, there's Antifa coming from all over the region. There it is right there. Antifa is coming all over the region into the city, including the artist that created that fist statue in the first place. So if you go on to Instagram is really one of the main organizing platforms of the far left, which seems a little bit weird. You'd think it would be blue sky, but it's not. You can go down many leftist rabbit holes and find all their different far left groups posting about this. It's something that they are very excited about.
Yeah, okay, so maybe I am just missing. That's where you come in. You actually go into these spaces and report on what you find. I guess I'm lucky. I avoid the leftist content for the most part, but it's leaving us blind to what's actually going on. Again, there's just something that feels weird about this that, you know, before I was looking at your coverage, nobody saw this. And then you look at it, it's like it's an autonomous zone. There's tons of people showing up. They have statues. This is a big deal, and yet it's going totally unaddressed. What does this portend, do you think, like, is this going to keep going? Do you think this is the beginning, the snowball rolling down the hill? Are we going to see another, you know, summer of love for the second half of this season? Or, like, what is their plan? What are they trying to achieve with this?
So I don't know if this is going to snowball into a national summer of love as we saw it last time. And I think that might just be a timing issue. I mean, people are getting ready to go back to college in a couple weeks. And so that might be just a timing snafu on their part. But the thing of it is in Madison specifically, what people need to understand is the city is completely supporting this. So that autonomous zone is not going away anytime soon. The city is coordinating with leaders of the autonomous zone to make sure they have services that they need. The city is moving in barricades and assault trucks and all of these things to block off the streets for them. They even brought them porta potties. They're even importing, like, there's like an additional porta potty added every single day at city taxpayer expense to make sure they're nice and comfortable. And the left is setting up tents. They're setting up an encampment there. They're sleeping over. And the city has flat out said that they don't really have any plans to get rid of it anytime soon. And I think on top of that, we have the Wisconsin governor's race that's happening with a DSA candidate, Francesca Hong, who looks like she might actually get the Democratic nomination for governor. And if she does, I think that autonomous zone is there to stay for the foreseeable future. I don't think it's going anywhere.
This is the bizarre thing about it. It's a bunch of fight the power people and all the powerful people going, here's money, here's services. Yep. It's so nonsensical. Let's zoom out a little bit because I want to talk about that because, you know, for the first time, maybe in my life, we have American politicians in just the last few months invoking the specter of communism, literal communism. I mean, this is something that like fell out of style, I guess, in the early 90s with the fall of the Soviet Union. It seems like a weird throwback to have Donald Trump be like, communists, these communists are here. So on one side, I'm glad they're aware that, yes, this is literal communism. It is a danger. We should be defending against this. At the same time, just saying that guy's a communist is not enough, right? What is your take on the rise of DSA, the infiltration of communism, the reaction from the Republicans? That's a lot of topics, but, you know, the floor is yours. What is your take on this rise of communism and the reaction?
Yeah, so first I want to make sure people understand that calling someone a communist is no longer a demonizing term. In fact, the left is really embracing this and saying, yes, we're communists, we're socialists. And by the way, they've used that term interchangeably. It means basically the same thing to them. And so they're very proud of this and they're very proud of all the coverage that we're getting. You know, there was a big, kerfuffle about the DSA, coming out and saying they want to abolish the Senate. I mean, breaking news, Harrison, I've been covering that for 3 years. That is not a new thing from the DSA, but the right has just discovered that they do actually have plans to overthrow the government. And one of the things I want to make sure people understand about this is in Madison, Wisconsin specifically, even though they do have this DSA governor's candidate, the DSA is not leading the encampment and the protest in Madison. In fact, they're flat out saying, we are here to support, we are here to encourage, but we are not actually leading this effort. So the DSA is not the most far left organization that we are dealing with. However, when it comes to elections, certainly they are starting to become a formidable force. The DSA in New York City, I think, is going to be pretty unstoppable. They have spent the last 10 years building an electoral machine to get Zora Mandami into the mayor's office in New York City. They made millions of phone calls. They had over 50,000 active volunteers. They knocked on millions of doors. They went into neighborhoods that were previously underserved. They did literally the ground game that, quite frankly, the Republicans could do, but refused to for reasons beyond my understanding. And they're doing everything right. And after they had so much success electorally in New York, they started teaching DSA chapters all over the country how to do exactly the same thing. And the DSA National has actually been raising money for local candidates. They've been doing phone banking. They raise money via dues. The DSA National just handed out grants in 20 cities all over the country to open local DSA offices. And these are not just in blue states. These are in red states too. There's one in Tampa, Florida. There's one in Birmingham, Alabama. I think there's one in Boise, Idaho. So they are not just focusing on blue areas at all. And so the DSA electorally is very excited and very energized. And quite frankly, that Fox News interview that conservatives were like, oh, we got them to admit what they're going to do, even though they've been saying it publicly for years, quite frankly. The DSA is psyched about that. If you go on their social media, they're like, yeah, we went on Fox News and we told them exactly what we wanted to do. And they just think it's great.
Yeah. And this is why the response from Trump in particular is so baffling. And one thing he said sort of when the Democrat socialists sort of swept a bunch of elections in New York, earlier this month, last month, whenever it was recently. And Trump basically said, you know, this is a good thing for us because the socialists are so crazy, normal people won't vote for them and they'll come over to the Republicans. I think this is so disconnected with reality. It's so out there. What's your take on that first? Because the interesting twist to this is that a lot of the socialists are portraying themselves as more normal, right? You think of Abigail Spanberger in Virginia, ran as a total moderate, governs like Mao. So what is their strategy? Are they coming out and saying, hey, we're radical socialists, you vote for us? Are they hiding their power level and trying to just appear as moderates? But first, what is your response to Donald Trump thinking that socialists are so crazy, this will be a boon for Republicans?
Donald Trump has no idea what's going on, and I am fully convinced no one in the Trump administration is actually hinged into reality, because everything I hear coming out of the Trump administration about the far left, the DSA and Antifa, it's all completely wrong. They don't know where they're funded. They don't know how they're organizing. They don't know how they're showing up in the world. And quite frankly, if the Trump administration doesn't start hinging into reality, I just don't even know what to say. In fact, you know, in response to Donald Trump saying these people are so crazy, I mean, the fact of the matter is, when Zora Mandami was campaigning for the mayoral nomination, they went into MAGA voting areas in New York City, and they specifically targeted people that had voted for Donald Trump in 2024. And they went in and they said, hey, listen, we know we're socialists and you guys might not agree with us, but we think affordability in New York City is a big problem. And here are the ideas we have to make things more affordable in New York City. And guess what? The Republicans weren't even talking to these people in New York City because they completely gave up on it. And so they actually, the DSA internal stats, I believe they said they got like 70% of the Trump voters that they actually went and talked to end up voting for Zora Mandami. Not only in they got people to like switch over to like vote in the primary, but then they got people to vote for him in the general election as well, because they were speaking explicitly about the issue of affordability. This seems to be something that the Trump administration has completely abandoned. And they think that if they just call someone a communist, that's going to be enough to get people to turn against them. But the fact of the matter is normal people are struggling and they are waiting for someone to make life more affordable for them. And the DSA is speaking directly to this every single day, and the Trump administration and MAGA are not. So is it any wonder people are voting for them? I mean, they're trying to solve their problems.
100%. And this is why I appreciate your coverage, because, you know, our regular viewers know you and I are exactly aligned on this, that, you know, there are these real problems that the Republicans are completely uninterested in addressing in any way at all. They really just insult the people making these complaints, even though the complaints are perfectly valid and it's reasonable people who have been, you know, living in their car. We've all seen the videos. Meanwhile, the socialists are there going, you just come with us. We're going to take those guys' stuff and give it to you. It'll be great. Who do you think they're going to go with? So, you know, we're completely aligned on that. I'm just baffled that more people don't get this. Like, is this that hard to understand, Carlin? Are we super geniuses that everybody else is like, how complicated is this? You've got to do something to deal with the very real concerns of the American people, especially the young people who have seen their prospects disintegrate over the last 10 years. How do we make that clear to the Republicans? Is it too late? Like, we'll spend some time here, but in the next segment, I really want to get into strategy, how we stop this. But just on that note alone, like, how do we make this case?
Harrison, I don't know at this point. I feel like I have been screaming into the void for years and years and years, trying to warn people that all this was coming. And from MAGA people, and listen, I get thousands of comments from MAGA people on my social media, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, like every single day. They do not take this problem seriously at all. They laugh it off. They make jokes about it. They say, these are paid protesters. They don't have jobs. This is all Soros funded. None of those things are true, by the way. And I think what I see coming out of the Trump administration and the GOP is just more lies about how the left is organizing, just making fun of them. And they think that making fun of them is somehow going to defeat this. And while they are making fun of them and making memes on Twitter, the left just keeps organizing. They just keep their head down. They keep focused on the goal. And if they have an opportunity to do something like they're doing in Madison, Wisconsin, they jump on it and they take it immediately. I mean, they have been able to spin up protests of thousands of people within a day or two. I mean, that is an impressive level of organizing. And like, you know, when I talk about these things, I get MAGA people on my channel saying, oh, this is a really small protest. Okay, have you ever been to a local Republican meeting? Because there might be a couple dozen people there if you're lucky on a good day. So you're calling several thousand people showing up on a Thursday a small protest that doesn't matter, but you guys can't even get a couple dozen people involved. So let's, you know, maybe back up and hinge into reality here.
And take it seriously. Take this threat seriously. You and I seem to be the only ones who are like, no, they're going to do a revolution, guys, and they might win. I went through a bunch of history of communist revolutions. You know, people write it off. They laugh it off. Like you're saying, they just scoff it. You know, these people don't have jobs or whatever. You know, historically, there have been couple dozen attempted communist revolutions. About a third of them succeed. And it's usually the ones that succeed are like the Russian Revolution. It's like the big ones. You know, you'll have a little one in Nicaragua where somebody tries to do something and maybe it fizzles out. But like when you get a big nationwide push of communists over trying to overthrow the government, it's got about a 33% chance of success. And then it becomes a hell of a lot harder from there on out. They just don't know history. We have to understand reality. There is a bull running at us. You can't just scoff at it. You got to take it by the horns. You know, I really don't know how we get this message across, but as you point out, the left just seems to keep their head down, do what they need to do. They're organizing behind the scenes. Meanwhile, we've got Marco Rubio going to Europe and making a big speech about Antifa, but nothing's being done for it. There's no work behind the scenes. There's no just, you know, not, it doesn't have to be spectacular. You just got to plug away and, you know, hey, declare them domestic terrorists. Let's investigate their money supplies. Where are they getting orders from? This seems criminal. Let's go with that. What do we need to do to convince the Republicans, like, stop talking about it, do it? Or even our fellow right wingers, like, you can't laugh at this. You got to be organizing in competition with them. What do we do to fight back here?
Yeah, I think the first thing people really need to understand, and I really hope that someone connected with the Trump administration is watching right now or will see this. Every single thing the Trump administration is putting out about how Antifa is funded is completely wrong. That report from Marco Rubio saying they're funded by Cuba and Iran, they're also saying they're funded by China, that is complete and total garbage. I'm sorry, that's just reality. Antifa is funded by mutual aid. They are funded by small cash donations within the community. They are not funded by nonprofits. They are not funded by NGOs. That is directly contradictory to all of their organizing principles. You can read Dean Spade's book about mutual aid. Dean Spade has probably raised more money for Antifa and the far left than anyone in the country over the past 25 years that them has been an activist. They're a professor at the Seattle School of Law, by the way. This is not an insignificant person. They've literally written the book about how to do this. Train Antifa all over the country about how to do it. The right has never heard of this person and is not paying attention to them at all. And that is where the money is coming from. Mutual aid. It's not coming from Soros. It is not coming from Neville Roy Singham and the CCP. It is coming from the community. And that makes it incredibly difficult to cut off the funding source. And that is why, quite frankly, Harrison, the Trump administration has not cut off the funding. They've been saying for over a year and a half now, we're going to cut off the head of the snake. Well, they haven't done anything. And the reason they haven't done it is because they do not know where the funding is coming from, because they cannot wrap their head around the idea of mutual aid. And so that's going to be step number one. We really have to just start to ground ourselves in the reality of how the far left is actually organizing in the real world. And every single thing coming out of the White House is just wrong. And quite frankly, it is infuriating to me that I am a woman in my second bedroom in a townhouse in New Hampshire, and I seem to know more about this than the FBI does. And so until, again, the Republicans start taking this seriously and they stop lying to their audiences about what is going on, we have no hope of turning this thing around.
100%. Could not agree with you more. So what do you do about that? Because, you know, mutual aid, and I agree with you. I mean, that seems to be where most of funding is coming from. How do you deal with that? How would you deal with that? If you were, you know, Comrade Poroshenko, the dictator of America, I mean, how is that what it would take? Like, how do you deal with this? If it's just people funding each other, I mean, this is really a quandary.
You know, I mean, this might be controversial, but in my ideal world where I'm the dictator of America, I would round up all of the organizers, like all across the country. We're talking about thousands of people here, and I would concentrate them in a camp-like area, build a wall around them, prohibit them from publishing, prohibit them from organizing, and prohibit them from interacting with polite society. It may be extreme to say I'd put them all in the concentration camp, but I think that that type of thing is actually what is going to be required in order to stop this problem. You have to get them off the streets. Trump has got to arrest far more people than the 15 that he arrested in Minnesota, which, okay, yeah, 15 is a good start, fine, but there are 80,000 far left activists in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Trump arrested 15 of them. And by the way, those 15 people have already raised about $400,000 via a crowdfunding site for their legal defense. And that was all mutual aid. It was all small donations, about an average donation of $100 a pop to fund the legal defense of the 15 Antifa members that were arrested in Minneapolis. So again, they need to be arrested. They need to be prevented from organizing. They need to be taken off the streets entirely. I think that if Trump doesn't invoke the Insurrection Act, it's some point, there's just no point to any of this.
You got my vote. I mean, I don't disagree with you even a little bit. And, you know, the thing is, this is the other thing I found when I was researching the history of communist revolutions. First of all, they succeed a lot more than you'd think. But the other thing I found is they almost never get defeated with anything except for violence. That's just how it is. You know, out of the dozens of attempts and the dozens of successes that they've had overthrowing a government or imposing their rule on an area, it's like four or five of them maybe got ended with negotiation. The vast majority, and everybody knows this, right? 1918 in Germany had to be crushed by the Freikorps. In Spain, the Communist Revolution had to be crushed by Franco. If you don't crush it, they win. Like, that seems to be the historical standard when it comes to communist revolutions. We have to understand this. And while we may be sort of hamstrung right now because we have freedom of speech, we have, you know, protections that I think are good, it's like if we're hamstrung by these, if these constitutional protections are the reason we can't stop the communists, we really got to make a difficult choice. Do we adhere to the Constitution and become a communist dictatorship? Or do we, hey, we got to do some extreme measures here, but in the pursuit of actually having a constitution at the end of this? More on the other side.
And a microscopic tag being implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health. What it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatically when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Folks, if you're not watching the Alex Jones Network, you might not have any idea that there is an autonomous zone Black Lives Matter protest happening in Madison, Wisconsin. I myself would have no idea about this, except for my guest, Carlin Borischenko, who, lucky for us, spends her times exploring the fetid swamps of leftist internet culture to find out what they're actually up to and what they're actually doing. Cannot encourage you enough to go follow Carlin, Dr. Carlin B, that's DrKarlynB on X, decodetheleft.com. And of course, you can find all of her other, you know, great work there. Again, just incredible coverage, and you go there on the ground, you do undercover work. It's really spectacular stuff, and I can't encourage it enough, like I said. But we're facing a big problem here, and I sort of laid it out at the end of the last segment, but like, I don't have an answer to this. I don't know if you do either. Let me lay out first. I love the Constitution. I genuinely treat the Constitution like a sacred document. I got to hang it up next to my bed. I think it is the greatest document man has ever produced. It came out of one of the greatest generation of men to ever produce it. A capstone of our civilization. Now, that being said, when I hear Anthony Fauci invoke the Fifth Amendment so he doesn't have to talk about lying the American people into lockdowns that destroyed people's lives, I have to question its usefulness at this point. When the Constitution is used only to hamstring the right and attempt to impose order and get back to justice, and the left seems capable of doing whatever they want, whenever they want, here's how I put it, Carlin. People who love the Constitution are gonna have to break the Constitution so we can save the Constitution from people who hate the Constitution. Does that make sense? Is that a good argument? Cause we're in trouble here.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. In an ideal world with rainbows and unicorns where everyone gets a pony, I think the Constitution is great, right? And in my heart of hearts, I'm a free speech absolutist. I want everyone to be able to say whatever they want. But the thing of it is that does not work in practicality. And it does not work when we have a very active and significant far left uprising going on in the country all over the place in almost every single state, in almost every single major city, in every single state, including red areas. And what people need to understand, and this is why I harp so much on the language of the left. When the left says capitalism, as in overthrowing capitalism, they don't just mean seizing the means of production of the factories. The left believes that the Constitution and the United States government are built on capitalism, that they cannot overthrow capitalism until they overthrow these things. So it was crazy for me to watch the right just realize the other day with the DSA video that, oh, they want to overthrow the government. Yes, they talk about this openly all the time. I have them on video from 3 years ago saying they're going to raise the red flag of communism above the White House when they take things over in their little coup. And I really do believe they're going to try to do that, Harrison. I believe we've got 10 to 15 years before the far left actually tries to overthrow the government. I do not believe the Civil War is going to be red versus blue, mostly because Republicans don't really do anything. They threaten to do things. They claim they're going to do things. They say, we have all the guns and they won't come into our town and all these things. But then they don't actually do anything. The real civil war in America is going to be radical revolutionary socialist versus the federal government. And I think when they go, they're going to win. And I think they're going to win rather easily because they've been preparing this for literally decades. And I don't think people understand how dire this problem is and how much we need to start fighting back and providing an actual opposition to the far left. Because right now, the reason they are winning is there is no opposition to what they're doing at all.
And it really, you know, it wouldn't be that hard, honestly, if Trump and Marco Rubio, if they believed what they say. I mean, they treat communism, they, in their words, they say, hey, this is an existential threat, this is really bad. Why aren't you treating it like that? If they were to treat it with the seriousness with which they talk about it, I don't think it'd be that hard. You know, you find the people on the left who are doing the bad stuff, you bring them in, hey, you gotta, you know, give us some information or you're going down for this. You do some RICO cases. I mean, these people are criminals, a lot of them. And okay, sure, we can imprison the Antifa members who actively stage an ambush and fire guns at ICE. We did. We got, you know, we convicted a couple of them when they were actively involved in a plot that actually tried to kill a bunch of ICE officers. It's like, that is not enough. And we have not gone over the communist revolution. We've not gone over that cliff edge. There is still time. They're still in that organizational phase. But the seriousness isn't there to actually deal with this. And I don't know if it ever will be since they're making these inroads. And as you've laid out, I mean, how much money have they spent planting offices in every big city? I know you posted about it before, but I mean, it's millions of dollars. So we have to take this seriously. the seriousness with which they're taking it, and they fully intend to literally take over the government, abolish the Supreme Court, pack the Supreme Court, abolish the Senate. Like, they're doing things or promoting policies explicitly and really can only serve to impose unconstitutional things on us. Why do you think they want to pack the Supreme Court? So they can do unconstitutional things. This is extremely bad, like we've been saying. But how much money have they spent? I know you know the amounts.
Yeah, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars in grants that came out of DSA National to go to these local DSA chapters, but they're also doing additional fundraising on top of that. And I think that, you know, people really don't realize where, I mean, let's focus in on the DSA specifically and talk about where they're getting their money. Because again, it's not Soros, it's not NGOs, it's not Neville Roy Singham and the CCP, it's not any of that. The DSA is funded by dues paying members that pay the national organization on average about $15 a month to have voting privileges in the organization. They also separately pay dues into their local DSA chapter, like $5 a month, $15 a month, something like that. So let's play a little game called Fun with Math, Harrison. The DSA National just passed 120,000 dues-paying members. And by the way, that's up from 100,000 dues-paying members in February. So they've grown an additional 20,000 dues-paying members since February of this year. If you do 120,000 times $15 a month times 12 months in a year, that equates out to $21 million in annual dues that they are getting just from $15 a month dues-paying members. That is where they are getting their money from. They are also doing additional fundraising and phone banking. The DSA started an initiative last year called Socialist Cash Beats Capitalist Trash, where they were calling DSA members all over the country and saying, hey, can you just throw in a couple extra bucks for us? They're actually, the DSA later tonight is actually doing a whole live phone banking thing on a meeting they're having where they get people on a Zoom call, they have a politician come to speak, and then they say, okay, guys, we're all going to go do phone calls now, and they have a national system set up where they can get thousands and thousands of people on these meetings, and they just start making phone calls to other DSA members asking them for money, and they're willing to give it because right now they are very energized. And so, and that is just one group on the left. There are dozens and dozens of groups on the left that are quite frankly more leftist and more dangerous than the DSA that are doing mutual aid funding. We saw this again in Minneapolis, Minnesota. There are over 80,000 anti-ICE activists in Minneapolis, Minnesota alone that are all organized into these signal groups that are making small cash donations, that are making food for each other, that are paying each other's rent if the illegal immigrants don't want to leave their house and stuff like that. And so, I mean, I do really think the first step to fixing this problem is people have got to stop lying about how this is funded. I mean, I really think that people who are pushing these conspiracy theories about NGOs and Iran and Cuba and Neville Roy Singham and the CCP, they are actually doing so much harm to our ability to fight the left because it leaves people on the right believing that all of these protesters don't really believe in anything, that they're all paid to be out there. They are not paid. They're really not. They're out there because this is what they believe. They're passionate about what they're doing. This is their life. This is their community. These are their social, this is their social circle. These are their friends. They have built an entire, you know, several years ago, the right was talking about building this parallel economy, right? The left has actually built the parallel economy that the right thought that they should build. They've actually done this. And this is how they are so powerful and why they are doing what they're doing.
Yeah. And again, it makes it that much more difficult to stop. And the only place I disagree with you is that obviously I think there are these NGO networks that are also funding them. But I think you're exactly right not to focus on that because obviously $21 million a year is, and that's just the dues paying members. That's not the additional funding that they can be fundraising on or, you know, so it's like you already have this core people funding themselves. And then that's sort of supercharged with government money, because you've got the teachers union, who's half of them are DSA members. I mean, there's so much sort of incestuous, helping each other out in all of these different organizations. It is a true hydra. It's a gigantic monster. 100,000 to 120,000 in 4 months. That is a big jump, and I think that's evidence of why now is the time. Like, the longer you wait, the harder this gets. And I mean, what are your thoughts? Why did they grow this much? This has to be because they're winning elections, right? People may have scoffed at them before. Now they're winning elections, so they start to get more members, so they start to win more elections, so they gain more money, so they get more members. I mean, again, snowball rolling down the hill. Earlier you stop it, the easier it'll be. What is behind that massive rise? That is an extra 1/5 of the members in just 4 months. That is huge.
I think the election certainly has something to do with it. I also think that the far left is just really good at recruiting people. And I mean, like, I think a lot of people are still stuck in this idea of 2016, like the left camp meme and all that stuff. Right. And it was true back then. They kind of sucked, but they don't suck anymore. And if you go on their social media, they are making very compelling videos in which people are having fun talking about their beliefs. They're engaging with each other. And I say this as someone who, like, I've gone undercover with them more than almost anyone that I know of in the country. When you are at their events, it is fun. When they think that you are part of them and you agree with them, they treat you very well. It is a very fun community. It is much more fun. Even like, I am not on the left in any way. I am more far right than MAGA people or Trump supporters. I am extremely far right. But when I go to a leftist event, I have a good time being there, as long as they don't discover who I am and try to, you know, beat me up or anything.
Right.
But like, I think that people really do underestimate this. They think that, like, I think right wingers think that because they see clickbait content on the internet about the left being violent, that all leftist events are violent. And that's just not true. In fact, most of the time, leftist events are actually peaceful protests and everyone is just having a good time hanging out. There's music. So there's games. There's stuff to do. They get to have intellectual conversations with each other about topics that they're excited about. And so I think that just the reality is the left has so much more energy than the right does right now. The right is caught in constant infighting and conflict. We have these MAGA people who are completely unhinged from reality. They're trying to excommunicate everyone else that actually supported Donald Trump before they did. And there's just no, like, who is the right recruiting right now? I mean, honestly, like, there's no events for people to go to. There's no outreach to voters that they could be serving by talking about affordability and actually taking on the real issues of Americans. There's no social events to go to. Trump isn't even doing rallies anymore, so they don't even have that. So the left has all the energy on their side, and the right just has nothing that can even compare to it.
I'm sorry, we just picked up Alan Dershowitz. Thank you very much. He just changed his registration from Democrat to Republican. But seriously, that's sort of emblematic, isn't it? Because there's two big topics that I think are driving this: Israel and capitalism, I guess, for lack of a better word. Now, I think we need to break from our traditional conception of capitalism in the Republican Party. I think we've been completely hoodwinked by the idea of communism versus capitalism, when in reality it should be communism versus America, Americanism. And part of the American government's traditional role is restricting the behavior of capitalistic endeavors, the trust busting, breaking up these big corporations that are taking advantage of the American people. That is a deeply American way to deal with this, because if you don't, you get communism. This false dichotomy of communism versus capitalism, or America versus Israel, or the Republicans versus, or Democrats versus Israel, or whatever it is. I guess let's stick with Israel first. How do you think that plays into it? Like, what impact do you think that had on the Mamdani race? And just how do you think that plays into the whole paradigm shift happening right now?
Oh, I think it is one of the central figures of our time, right? It's essential issues of our time. I mean, we're in this war with Iran because of Israel, because we are more beholden to a foreign power than we are to actual American citizens. And I think that a lot of people on both the left and the right are waking up to this issue. And I want to, like, say specifically about the war in Iran, the only anti-war side right now is the left. There is no anti-war movement on the right. And so actually what I've been seeing, Harrison, is there is a growing, increasing movement to recruit veterans to the far left. There are multiple veteran groups on the left. About Face is one of them. Veterans Against Fascism is one of them. These are overtly socialist groups that are at very far left events recruiting, that are speaking to veterans who do not want to be involved in this war at all. And I think we just don't have anything to compare that with on the right, because you are not allowed to question the war with Iran. You are not allowed to question Israel's role in that. The other thing I really want people to understand is, even though there might be people who have misgivings about the war and also just our relationship with Israel in general, people on the right have a very different issue with Israel than people on the left do. Same with capitalism. People on the right, and I don't think capitalism is a perfect system by any means, but you and I are going to have very different objections to capitalism than the left would. When the left says capitalism, they explicitly mean private property ownership. They want to abolish our ability to own homes, lands, apartments, private businesses, intellectual property. They even consider parental rights to be a form of capitalism, so they would abolish parental rights over your kids. I don't think that's the problem that you or I have with capitalism. We have issues with crony capitalism, corrupt capitalism, all that stuff. And I do think it's really important for people to understand that. Like, we might be using the same word, but we have different definitions for what is going on. And so, yeah, I mean, I think we're in a conundrum conundrum because, again, it's like the Republicans and the Trump administration seem beholden to doing the bidding of Israel over helping Americans, while you have these socialists and communists who are saying, we don't want to be in this war. We want to take all this money that we're spending in Iran, and we want to use it to help Americans make housing more affordable, make food more affordable, make life more affordable, make life better. The Trump administration is simply not competing with that at all.
100% could not agree more. And it's weird because it's almost like the false dichotomy is being pushed by both these sides, right? You hear the Israeli talking heads go, hey, if you're against Israeli, you know, domination, then you must be a communist. You're no better than AOC. And you've got the socialists saying the same thing. Hey, you're against Israel. Great. You're on our side. Come with us. It's like both these people are pushing this, what I consider to be a false dichotomy, because I think you have a better reason to stand up against Israel from the right, from a national. Anyway, we don't need to get into that exactly, but it plays into what is driving people over to the left, because they look to the right and they see the most evil things they've ever seen in their lives when it comes to Israel. And they see the sickening adherence to the leadership of Israel from the Republican Party. They couldn't design it better if they tried. I mean, honestly, it's like what's happening with the Republican Party. It's like it was designed by Democrats. It's like a bunch of Democrats got in with Trump and went, all right, let's totally destroy the Republican Party by tying it to the hip to Israel and nothing else. Not doing deportations, not doing anything for the American people, but surrendering everything to Israel. I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, Carlin. It seems like this is a big setup. I mean, it seems like this is happening on purpose. And I don't know if it is, but they couldn't have designed it better, could they?
It almost seems comically bad. The things that are coming out of the talking heads on the right, and it is infuriating every single day, where it is obvious they're not talking to real people in the real world. They are just issuing a statement on Twitter that is just fundamentally unhinged from what real people want. We want mass deportations. We want to see, I want to see ICE going into neighborhoods, loading illegals onto semi trucks, driving them to the airport, loading them on a cargo plane, and flying them back to a third world country in Africa. And I quite frankly don't even care which one. Unload them from the plane and leave them there and don't let them come back. And it's just like, I don't think I'm alone in this assessment, Harrison. And I think that people would really like to see that. But what did the Trump administration do? They fired Greg Bovino, who was like the only good person that actually had a plan to deport 100 million people. And now they put Mark Wayne Mullins in charge of DHS, who apparently is taking orders from Susan Collins in Maine, who just thinks that it's a little bit too much to arrest illegals when you stop them at a traffic stop. And so it's like the fact that Greg Bovino is not in charge of DHS, right? He's not even in the government, but he should be running DHS and he should be running all of what we're doing. I mean, it's one of Trump's worst qualities is his hiring decisions. This was true in his first administration, and we are seeing it again play out in this administration. He hired almost universally the most awful people he could possibly bring in. He's listening to them for reasons beyond my understanding, and that is why we are not getting the mass deportations that we rightfully deserve by giving him another term in office.
100%, and I don't want Kristi Noem standing out yelling at the camera about how they're going to do all this. I want a Merrick Garland type. I want somebody quiet and efficient who's just going to come out and do a little press conference where he goes, here's who we're arresting. We're doing this in perfectly in line with the Constitution. Good night, everybody. And then I just want to round them up. And it's like we cannot get that done. It's so utterly infuriating. So how do we get this done? I mean, strategically, strategizing here. You got something like New York City, DSA mayor. I mean, that started the ball rolling. Now you're in this feedback loop where they're going to start taking buildings from people. They're going to start, you know, forcing. It's not going to be good. Do we abandon New York? Do we just go, all right, let's consolidate, you know, in red states and try to just hold the line? Do we try to retake territory there? Is that even too ambitious? How do we survive the first assault? Like, what is the strategy moving forward here for our, you know, listeners and viewers out there? I don't want to black pill them. The DSA is obviously strong and growing stronger. We have to recognize that if we want to fight it. So how do we fight it? That's the question.
So for me, obviously, I'm not in any position of decision making power, sadly. So I can't say what the Republican Party should do. And they probably wouldn't listen to me anyway. But I think for me, what I'm trying to do, Harrison, is I'm trying to get out there and educate as many people as I can about how the left is actually organizing, what their language means, what their terminology means, how they think about raising money, how they think about activism in the real world. Because I really think that the biggest part of the problem that we face is that right wing audiences have been lied to by their own media for years and years and years. And because of that, everyone is fundamentally unhinged from reality about what the left is doing in the real world. And quite frankly, I don't care what the left was doing 50 years ago or 20 years ago. I care what they are doing and how they are organizing today. And so I'm trying to just educate as many people as I can to try to understand the language, understand the organizing structure, because I think that you cannot adequately fight back against an enemy that you do not understand. And I think, again, until the right wants to hinge into reality on how the left is raising money, how they are actually organized, that it is horizontal, it is non-hierarchical, it is decentralized, how they are actually working with each other all over the country, what propaganda they're putting out, what talking points they're issuing on any given day, how they are actually coordinating all these efforts. Until we understand the issue that we are dealing with, we cannot actually put tactics in place to defeat them. I also think I hate when I see Republicans just completely ceding the major cities. Like, what are you doing? In New York City, they didn't even attempt to fight back against Zora Mindami. There was no real effort made in New York City at all. And that wasn't just in that mayoral's race. They gave up on New York City a long time ago. And I think if they just started speaking to the issues that real Americans want to hear, I don't think that Americans would readily accept communism as an alternative. But right now, they are literally being given nothing from the Republican Party, and they're being told by the far left, we will fix all your real world problems. So, like, what do you want them to do? So I think this is about really just going back to basics, doing the groundwork. Literally, if Republicans just took what the DSA is doing and copied it for the Republican Party, it would be 1,000 times more effective than what the Republicans are currently doing.
What we're currently doing, I don't even want to get into what we're currently doing. It's like, you know, it's the Trump administration, but it's also we can't help but tearing ourselves down. I guess here in the last 2 minutes, how do we stop killing each other, Carlin? Cause we got this, such a powerful enemy on the left, and yet all of our energy is spent towards fighting Nick Fuentes or Candace Owens, or it's like, how do we get over that first?
Hey, listen, Harrison, I've been talking about this lately, but at the last three far left events I've gone to, I'm actually in more danger of being attacked by a MAGA person than I am by leftists. And that's true. I get attacked far more by the right than I do by the left. I just had a right wing person dox my house literally the other day live on my stream and then threaten to come to my house and show up with a gun. Okay. So it's like, it is absolute insanity what is going on the right now. And I think we have to focus our attention on who the real enemy is. And listen, from my perspective, obviously I don't support Israel in any way, but will I work with Zionists if they want to work with me on solving the problem of the far left? Yes, you are allowed to support Israel. This is America. We are allowed to have differences of opinions, but if we can't put our differences of opinions aside and work on the issues that we have in common, then all is truly lost. And if the right is going to continue to do these purity tests of like, you have to support Israel in order for us to talk to you about the left, then nothing is going to get accomplished. I mean, this is something I've had to deal with for years and years and years, is the purity tests that go on the right. And I know you've had to do it too. Nick Fuentes has had to do it too. And you can see where the energy is right now. The energy on the right is not behind the Republican establishment. It is not behind Trump. It is like behind people like Nick and who are speaking to the issues that people care about. And so why are we excommunicating people and completely gatekeeping them from being part of the discussion? Why can't we just focus on what we have in common and then bicker about the rest later?
You're so right. You're just hitting the nail on the head. It should be the other way around. It should be, hey, you support Israel? Well, guess what? We got to defeat the left, because if the left gets into power, guess what's the first on the chopping block? So if Israel is your big topic, put it to the side for a second and deal with the actual problem that is really the biggest threat to Israel. Like, if that's your angle, okay, then you need to get on board and help us defeat the left and not have these purity spirals over Israel. You're exactly right, man. Just incredible stuff. As always, Dr. Carlin B on X. That's DrKarlynB on X. And what's your website? I want to get it exactly right. There it is. DecodeTheLeft.com. Decode the Left. You can follow at Decode the Left on X, at Queer Marxism, at Red Menace Support. Incredible work. Keep it up. And we'll talk to you again soon, Carlin. All right, folks. We'll be right back with the third hour. And Lionel Nation joins us on the other side. Stay with us, folks.
Come on now, Bandit. We got to get this truck on the road.
Eastbound and down. Help and trucking. what they say can't be
done. Let's get a move on.
We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm East Carolina, I'm a bandit. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some devil mind it breaks. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. We'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. We're gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run.
Abe, I think this is my favorite Alex Jones shirt.
Dude, I totally agree.
Founding Fathers on patrol. Washington and Lincoln rocking the latest Alex Jones shirt. Marching past America's monuments. Liberty is awake. Visit thealexjonesstore.com now.
دركة دركة محمد جهاد 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 دركة دركة محمد جهاد.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I testify before and or briefed Senate and House well over 200 times over those 38 years. During and after the COVID pandemic, I have appeared multiple times for hearings in the Senate and the House, usually under oath, and sat for several days-long transcribed sworn interviews answering questions about the very issues that are now the subject of this hearing. However, given Senator Paul's obvious obsession, under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions.
Just coming back
around.
Folks, both of those clips, first you saw PSYOP anime, after that it was Heavy Pulp. Two of the greatest artists at work today, if you want my opinion, at Heavy Pulp on X. Just putting together incredible stuff that you could just, it just resonates with you, doesn't it? I mean, you watch that and you can just tell this person gets it. It's Americana. It's about celebrating the human spirit, breaking free of all of these externalities that just pile on us and keep us battened down when we should be shooting for the stars. Just incredible stuff. And of course, you know, we're called, you know, we're participating in the information war. That's a little dry, you know. As important as that, possibly more important is the vibe, is what we actually represent beyond words, the ideas that we represent, the history that we try to uphold, the art that we try to spread. You're not going to win minds just with bare facts. You need the element of that compels people to join. And that's really what I think Alex Jones has been fantastic at spreading. It's that spirit of resistance, the spirit of Americana, that is the perfect North Star to align ourselves as we seek to make our way through this maze of deception and lies and cruelty and madness all around us. We keep our eyes on the prize. That is Americana and getting back to the Constitution one way or another. And you can support us in this mission, of course, by going to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, we have absolutely massive discounts right now. 40% off methylene blue tincture. Incredible new line of not just shirts, but like button down shirts and shorts and all sorts of wonderful stuff. Please do support us. You keep us on the air in the fight and doing everything we can to win back America culturally, spiritually, intellectually. Everything depends on whether you get involved, spread the word, and support people doing the right thing. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Stay tuned. Lionel on the other side.
I like them shirts, y'all.
Can you believe it? It's the girls from our shirts, Cletus.
Yeehaw! Look at that! Hell yeah!
We matched!
I think they liked us.
We should go back!
AlexJonesStore.com, your one-stop shop for exclusive deals and products. Visit the site now and save big.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you on the Alex Jones Network, AlexJonesLive.com. Follow us at AJNLive. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. And get out your thesauruses, folks. Get out your dictionaries, because I'm now joined by a man whose vocabulary I respect, and it's truly daunting. It's Lionel, of course, former prosecutor, now in his 43rd year as a licensed trial lawyer and acclaimed legal and media analyst. Seen on YouTube at Lionel Nation and on X at Lionel Media. You can also find him at LionelMedia.com. He's currently hosting weekend overnights on Heritage Talk Radio Powerhouse 77 WABC in New York City and syndicated nationwide, a talk radio veteran and proudly, unapologetically contrarian, Lionel Nation. Follow him on YouTube at Lionel Nation. Lionel, welcome to the show, sir.
Big fan. Big fan. I am an acolyte. I'm a minion. I'm an apostle of yours. God bless you for that. And the reason why, well, the reason why I bring up this ancient amount of time, as I'm wizened by decrepitude, hobbled by dotage, but because I've been through this for so long, and I have never, ever, ever been as excited to be in the information business than I am now. And I'm also going to say something, and for one particular reason, because you insisted I say this. I'm kidding, of course, but God bless you, and we need more cadres and consortia of younger people on this conveyor belt. You should be having interns bring in younger people, because we don't want this to be to just die out. Like, hey, where's the bench?
100%.
Because what you're seeing right now is so critical. There is such a dearth of paucity and absence of any kind of news and critical thinking in the world. And I have been with Alex forever. When it wasn't cool, when it was dangerous, right around 9/11, it was dangerous. This is 25 years ago. Think about this.
Absolutely.
A lot of these kids, I mean, they, and Alex is, I mean, he is the OG. That's what the kids call it from what I hear. I hear they call it the OG. It means something.
Absolutely.
It's like extra crispiers. But he's true. And it, and he did it before it was cool and nobody knew what the hell he was doing. They said, what is he talking about? I remember one time he said, Albert, be careful. I'm not going to imitate him, but he says, you know, because, you know, because people always say that he said frogs are going to be gay. Mm. And he said, well, that's not what he, that's not the same. Well, anyway, what he used to do was he would say something that was incredible. Like one time he said, and at the time this sounded banana, he goes, and they're going to be listening to you through your cable converters. And they said, this guy is so full. What is he talking about? Now it's like, well, of course they're listening to us. Of course they're listening to us. And as far as gay frogs being gay, some epicene little frog, you know, it's not that they're gay, but it affects the ability to, you know, to produce.
Of course.
This is when he ripped the gonads off of Piers Morgan, that twit, that imprisoned atesticular anarchist twit. And he just absolutely, look at this, Alan. How can you not love this? How, remember when he went up to, Cenk Uygur?
Of course.
I thought Cenk was going to just kill him. But let me tell you something. Cenk Uygur makes a lot of sense now.
How strange is this?
Kasparian.
Did you see his tweet yesterday? Cenk Uygur is calling out Andrew, Alex Jones saying, hey man, we're kind of on the same side now. Isn't this something?
What is, you know, they say politics makes strange bedfellows, but I don't, listen, let me tell you something. Anna Kasparian, I think she has been great. And what's interesting is that I got to tell you something, my friend, in a long time when it came to, and I, you know, I have never met, and I'm sure they're out there, but I have never met an anti-Semite. Mm. And I've never met a racist. I've never met somebody who says, you know, I don't even care, but black people deserve to be. No, I've never met them, but I've been called that. I've people have been called that, white supremacists. I've never met somebody who's an anti-Semite. I've never met. I'm in New York City. Everybody's Jewish. We're all friends. What are you talking about? This is the worst city. You know, I know you're talking about this, Mamdani, a name nobody can pronounce, but you better have a good attitude here because you don't know what you're going to get. We don't care. It doesn't matter. That helps heterogeneity, helps the culture. But this business about, well, if you say something about Israel, you're an anti-Semite. As we say in the South, that dog don't hunt. There's nothing to that. There's nothing. It doesn't matter. So guess who are the people out there? Max Blumenthal, amazing. Aaron Monte, Katie Halper, Abby Martin, Mir Scheimer, McGregor, Judge Napolitano, Scott Ritter, go down the list. It's this new cadre, and then we have Candace Owens, who moves on here. I don't even know. People love her. If she said, I want everybody to cut off your left pinky finger, they do it.
They do it.
So we have that, and we have this notion of this left-right paradigm, this illusion. I don't even know what the hell that thing means.
Right.
You know, Carol Quigley and Tragedy and Hope. All of this has come through. It doesn't make any sense. Left, right. What does that even mean, left, right? It's just, it's so new. It's like being, let's say, being in a time when you're watching, when you watched grunge start, well, actually it was Neil Young, but when you saw New Wave or you saw Bossa Nova or you saw Bebop and you were there, you say, I'm seeing something now that is going to change everything. That's where we are.
Right.
And they can't stop this. Anyway, I've spoken too much.
Well,
have a nice day.
Please. This is why we love you, sir. This is why I watch all your YouTube videos. No, but you're exactly right. What are the divisions now? Where are we? Everything has been shaken up. Everything has sort of been knocked loose and we're trying to figure out where exactly everybody fits in and what exactly side we're on, if there are sides. because, you know, the frustration is you got people that you hear them about Israel. You listen to Cenk Uygur or Anna Kasparian. They're actually good on a couple. They're sort of coming around on certain things. But a lot of times I hear somebody, it's like, man, you're right on. You're dead on. But then they're like, also, you know, white supremacy is the worst thing ever. And trans kids are our greatest concern. It's like, well, hold on. Wait, what? Where do we find our allies these days? Is it?
Listen,
what's important to focus on?
Who was your last guest? She was phenomenal. What is her name, please? I missed it because I was doing...
Carlin Borischenko. Let me spell it exactly for you.
Hey, it's kids listening.
That's this A.
Wear a long coat, nobody will notice.
I just say what they tell me. D-R-K-A-R-L-Y-N-B. Yeah, she's fantastic. I absolutely agree. And she's one of the only people actually...
Phenomenal.
Listening to the left and you know, listening to what they say. But what are the sides these days?
What is this left?
You got to call them something.
Here's one for you. Let me throw something at you. Yesterday in my native Florida, I'm not from Florida, I'm from Florida. Because it's it's Hooterville. Don't let anybody kid you. It is hardcore redneck. Wichita-Coochee, Micanopy. There's a place called Sop Choppy, where they have earthworm grunt. This is hardcore. This business about Palm Beach, my ass. It is redneck. So anyway, so yesterday, I think they killed two. I think they got some old guy. He's like 105, so old he farts dust. He didn't know where he was. He kept yelling, "Who ordered the veal cutlet?" And they gave him, you know, they got him. And they're all murderers. Who cares? But anyway, so they were going to say two people, two, they kill them two. Now, a lot of people, I said, "You happy about that?" And people would say, "You know, you lefty." I said, "Wait a minute. What? So what's the answer to that?" People, just think. Don't think about which slot you want to get into. Just think, what would Jesus, I like the religious folks, "I'm believing the blood of Jesus." And I say, "Kill him." I say, "Wait a minute, hold it. Jesus would probably beg to differ with you on the capital punishment. After all, he was a victim and he was guilty because he's the son of God.
True.
So he had no excuse. He would probably say, excuse me. You know, but so I didn't even understand that. What are you talking about? What is this? What are we like? Who's for abortion? Who goes up to a woman who's pregnant and say, "You know, you don't have to have that." You know, right. I know a place. So anyway, somebody the other day we're talking about abortion. I said, "Abortion's not an issue. I'll be 68 next month. I've never had to decide an abortion in my life or capital punishment. Never. Nobody's ever picked me up and say, "Quick, we got to answer. Should we kill him or not? I'm at the death house. Help me." But so I said to a friend, "You want to abolish abortion? Yeah. You want to put women in prison who have an abortion?" He goes, "Well, I didn't say that." I said, "Well, you want to abolish it, don't you? You ever thought this thing through?" "I never thought about that." So it's an issue that's a non-issue. I mean, it's important. Don't get me wrong, but I don't, we'll get to that later.
We got bigger concerns. We got some existential things going on here that we need to prioritize, I think, before some of the cultural stuff. But man, the cultural stuff, it dominates. I don't know. People can't help. I can't help it half the time. How do we do this? How do we engage in this stuff without getting distracted by it? I mean, everything is topsy-turvy. Well, crap. Me neither.
Have you ever thought about this? I don't know how long you've been in a high school, but let's say they called you back and they said, "Listen, would you talk to these kids, your high school?" I say, "You sure about this?" "Yeah. Tell them what you've learned." "All right. You sure about this?"
"You ready?"
"All right. I'll tell you." And this is life to me. Ready for this? Somebody thought I was doing some breast grabbing measure. No,
I got you.
Man.
Yeah. I get bounce scales.
Yeah. Well, then again, you might want to try this one. And as you do it, say, "Come in Berlin," you know, anyway, but as you do like this. So you say, well, okay, for example, drag queens, is there a group of people in the world who are designed and focused on somehow providing some kind of a catastrophic systemic collapse of social order by teaching little kids that some, you know, your group, I got to stop and say something. I can say something in the middle of my, and you've got to, and there's a clip. It's like, can you think about this? Okay,
there's
here we go.
Readers.
Terminal flatulence. Here we go. Watch it. Terminal flatulence. It's a disease. All right, watch this.
Throwing him a curveball.
Pretty soon this guy, they say, "Oh, we got that one. We got it. Flatulence, hit F. Jerry, hit F." It's under fart. I don't know how you do this, but you do this. But
yep.
Is it the number one concern? No.
Okay, wait, we got to take it off. Now it's freaking me out. Sometimes, you know, call them what you want. The left,
This isn't.
I can't watch. I can't even look at it.
I don't even think this is, what the hell's the matter with this? Here we go. Did you ever see G.G. Allen? G.G. Allen was a guy years ago who eventually, I think he killed himself. He was famous for cutting himself on stage and throwing blood and excrement at the audience. Kind of takes the Gallagher routine with the watermelon to a new twist. Level.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to go to something? You like experimental theater? Yeah. G.G. Allen. Trust me. Oof. You might want to sit in the back. Anyway. Wow. So my question is that a big deal? Well, yeah, but is that number one? No. Zoran Mamdani, Democratic man's a genius. He's a genius. And nobody ever listens and says, why do you like him? I've talked to some of the smartest people who say, because I like what he's saying. I say, learn from him. Your last case, Carlin
Borshenko.
Borshenko, Gazunite. Anyway, she said, she was saying the same thing. Look at this. That's G.G. Allen, by the way.
There
either
you go.
That or Killer Carl Cox from NWA in the 70s. No, that's G.G. Allen. Talk about obscure. Check him out. In any event, there are people who, are they communist? No. Is he a communist? No. Do you know what a communist is? Is he in a planned economy? Huh?
They seem to be working in that direction. I mean, they say they're communists, don't they?
No, I say social. No.
Sometimes.
Does he really want to go communist? Communism, if you ever, listen, I knew one communist in particular, and he would say, how dare you? That's an idea. Socialist, maybe sort of. It's a welfare state. When he gives stuff away. This Jadrool, there he goes, where's the governor for you? He decided he was going to have, listen to this. This lasted for, it's from Cidrulu. It means a cucumber. But it means like, it's a great kind of a wise guy, kind of a down thing.
It sounds mean. Anyway, it sounds mean. I like it.
It sounds not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. You don't want to be a Jadrool or anyway.
I'm not.
So what happens was he said he wanted to provide free buses. This took most New Yorkers 10 seconds to say, wait a minute, free buses? You're going to have these lunatics on the bus? Mm. What? That lasted an hour.
Right.
They don't know who the hell Marx, Engels, Lenin, Stalin. They have no idea. They're into this thing about, and we believe in rent freezes. Then you explain it. Democratic Socialists of America. It's this stupid Norwegian kind of half-ass, whatever it is. But the point is, find out what he's doing. And then go out and maybe try to get younger people. And maybe we could have somebody who, I don't know, might be attractive to younger folks. Let me ask you something. You're a young feller. Who is, I don't even know what the hell our position is. Who is our poll star? Who is our Lindsey Graham? Who are our heroes? Who are they?
We're looking around. There was this guy named Trump. I don't know if you remember him. We haven't seen him since 2024, yeah. But he was excellent. I mean, he was very good on the trail. I don't know where he went.
I don't know what happened. And all of a sudden people say, you know, I think maybe they got a picture. So I think that Epstein thing, I got a picture of him with a duck or something like that. I said, that's the most ridiculous. Well, it's a friend of mine. He's from Florida. He said, well, how the hell do you explain him changing that fast? I said, you know, you got a hell of a point there. I don't know. I mean, he went from, did you hear his neocon anti-war thing? It's the most phenomenal thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like, this guy is, do you remember the last time anybody ever said, hey, want to go out tonight? Oh, hell no. Why? Trump's giving a speech or a rally. Who the hell ever said, hey, Jimmy Carter's on TV? What? He was a superstar. And he would say these things that he would speak for hours. And he was a natural. And then he would do, and then he started to say, okay. And then he started picking the people. And Borshenko said it right. First of all, Cash Patel, what are you kidding me? What, do you lose a bet? Cash Patel. Cash Patel? I don't want to do, you know, the old thing like that, but it's like Cash. This guy goes to a party. He couldn't. It's like, Cash, would you lose the raid jacket? You're the director. We know that. He went to a party for FBI families. He's got the badge on his belt. You think J. Edgar Hoover would do that? J. Edgar Hoover didn't even have a badge. He said, I'm J. Edgar Hoover. I don't need a badge. What are you? Okay, then there's that. Then they have Pete Hegseth. Want to do some pull-ups? No. What the hell does that have to do? Who is
no,
this?
Thank you.
I can do pull-ups. Can you imagine George C. Marshall? George C. Patton couldn't do a pull-up to save his life if he had to. He was like, what are you talking about? These are killers. Then it got better. Bobby Kennedy, what happened to him? He's not a much. I can do pull-ups.
God bless him.
Enough with the pull-ups.
You know.
Look at this guy. By the way, you don't want to go ski shooting with this guy. So
I
mean,
my goodness.
There you go. Oh, come
look
on.
Look at that. Now the crew's getting creative. Now you've complimented. You were too nice to them. Now they're going off on their own, and we don't know what they're going to come up with next.
They're going to do all this stuff. But anyway, so then Bobby Kennedy's doing the, he's doing the pull-ups, everything's picking up snakes. What the hell's going on with this? Bobby, what about the vaccines? Did you know that red dye? I don't care about the red dye. Fine, the Pop-Tarts. Let's go. Bobby, let's put beef tallow. But you want to fry potatoes in beef tallow? Oh, that's good for you. Bobby, enough about that. What do you want? A cooking show? What about the vaccines? What about you? You're an anti-vax. Never talks about it. And now after they got vaccine, Fauci, now he comes out. Oh, he's a big man now. Where the hell were you before? You were doing tug of war with Pete Hegseth, and now all of a sudden, and I want to ask Trump and say, you, listen, I don't blame Trump because nobody knew this vaccine scared the hell out of us.
Mm.
But my favorite, does Fauci have a pair of cojones like elephantine bowling balls where he says, and I know what you're going to do. You're avowed. Not if you tell the truth.
Yep.
What do you got to hide there, Tony? What about his lawyer? Do you have that one where we're screaming at his lawyer? Get him out of here.
Yeah, that was great.
I told you not to sit at that table. Wasn't that great?
I love that. And I thought, okay, next go, okay, now arrest him. You know, wouldn't that have been nice?
And they have the sergeant at arms. The guy is a sergeant at arms that all the time walks around saying, what the hell do I do? I'm a sergeant at arms. Right. What does that even mean? Arrest somebody. Okay.
Wake him up to kick the lawyer out today. Yeah.
But here's the one that I want to do. Listen, the bottom line is simply this. Criminal law. Criminal law is my thing. My former prosecutor is in my blood. And I got to tell you something right now. And it doesn't take much. And I just wanted to say one thing about the Tyler Robinson case.
Mm.
When you have a case where the gun, the murder weapon, is inconclusive, that's called not guilty. You see, Harrison, this is a lint brush. You see, this is inconclusive. There's no connection to this either. This lint brush is as relevant as that Mauser 98 with the scope that gets in the way of the safety and has dust in the barrel. I think that was a Kansas thing. Dust in the wind, dust in the barrel. That's it. Not guilty. That's it. Forget the arrest. We're done. A jury is going to go to a room and say, well, how do we find him guilty? He thought him dead. It was like telepathy. Yeah, but where's the, there is no gun. Don't worry about it. What are we talking about?
Okay.
Who cares about half of this stuff?
This is the weird thing. I was having this conversation with a friend yesterday because I was saying, look, you know, it wasn't the most convincing, you know, opening salvo of the Robinson trial. There's a lot missing. And he said, well, the hearing, you know, it's like, you know, it didn't really convince me that much. And he said, well, they have to withhold some of the evidence for trial. And I said, okay, but the evidence that they presented wasn't convincing. You would have, if it was so cut and dry, they could present, here's the video of him doing it. Is that enough? It is. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. And it would have been over.
No. Remember what the standard is, probable cause. Translation, he probably did it. Anybody can do that. Listen, not to get in the weeds, but the question I want to have is, who was the numbnuts over here who didn't impanel a grand jury, get an indictment, which presupposes probable cause, issue a true bill, got an indictment, that's it. There's your indictment. Let's go to trial. He hasn't even been arraigned yet. This is ridiculous. Who didn't go to the grand jury? There he is. Clear cut. If that, look at it, a dead ringer. I've seen set. Now watch this. Watch this. Look at your watch. Ready? Go. Loch Ness Monster. Okay, watch. Watch it. Let's see how fast it takes them to get the Loch Ness Monster. This is the most, what is this?
It's crazy.
Where is this? Who, what is he doing? Why is he doing, guess what? He's doing this lateral. Candace Owens called by, she's great, by the way. She does this lateral movement. And then when he gets up, he hauls ass back. He runs back. Forget the lateral movement. He runs back. And he, who knows? What is this?
It's.
What is this?
It's locked.
You know, this
is Bigfoot.
Of,
That's Bigfoot right there. Exactly. I know him.
Where's your team? A little slow on the update there, boys. I thought for sure you'd have Loch Ness, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti. Huh? Huh?
Going to the cryptology folder.
Now that Alex is away, they're getting loaded. But aside from that, it's just, it's ridiculous. And who is this guy? Proboscis, probiotic, Posobiec. Have you ever seen this guy? He looks like his goldfish died.
I like Jack.
He looks like he's passing a hockey puck. He looks like his last friend died. He's like thinking, what am I doing here? Push it. Well, I like push. Okay.
This
down,
is the problem.
Jack.
This is the problem. How do we do that? How do we come together on this while not tearing each other
before
down?
Before we get to the come together, what are you, John Lennon?
I'm John Lennon. No. I'm the peacemaker.
Who is the idiot? Who is the one who said, yeah, I saw it. I was there and I saw the 4K. It was as clear as day.
This is what I don't understand.
Yeah, it was. And Benny Johnson, Benny and the what? So anyway, where is it? Now you said you want to hold stuff back. No, you don't. If you're the prosecutor, you're going to say, let me show you something. I'm going to pour this on so that this defense will say.
And that's why it doesn't make any sense. Hold on. We got to go to commercial break. Lionel Nation on the other side.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do, they want to silence you. Is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Oh, pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
There he is, folks, with the Mauser. You can see the limp. It's down his leg right there. Absolute bombshell proof. Overwhelming, one might say. Overwhelming proof. Is it Tyler Robinson or Chupacabra?
No, that's his roommate. That's the fuzzy. That's Lance Twiggs.
That's right.
What the hell is that about, by the way?
Oh, we'll get into it. Hold on. Let me tell people what they're watching here. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
What are we watching?
Well, you're on, sir, the War Room, Alex Jones Network. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I gotta say, I'm blessed beyond measure to be here on the Alex Jones Network. I get to talk to people I grew up watching, like Mr. Lionel himself. You can follow him on X at Lionel Media. Is that right? Want to get it right? At Lionel
Correct.
Media on X.
Yep.
Lionel Nation on YouTube, LionelMedia.com. But the beautiful thing about InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network, I mean, we were always the outlier. It's sort of the beauty of, you know, not playing ball with the people in power. You sort of become a free agent. And so, you know, I've adopted to myself, maybe unconsciously, like, I don't want to be enemies with anybody. I love Nick Fuentes. I love Ian Carroll. They can beef with each other. I don't care. I'm going to support them both. Am I being an idiot? Because the factions these days, I'm so glad that we at the Alex Jones Network, we sort of hover above the factions. At least we try to. I don't want to get down in the mud, but it's hard to avoid these days. And you've been one of the biggest supporters of Candace. I, you know, have all the respect in the world for Candace. I think she is a true maverick, and it's just unbelievably impressive what she's been able to do. But I gotta admit, there are times I want to reach to the screen and shake her and go, what are you saying? I can't even figure out what you're saying. I'm so confused.
Well, they came up, here's one for me, Nick Fuentes. I'm going to slap the hell out of him and say, what's the matter with you?
Maybe we all need to get together and just a couple slaps. We all need to get it out of our system. There you go.
Now, Candace, I'm thinking to myself, first of all, Candace is Alex. Look at that with that thing. Come on, don't even mention. Candace is Alex. She's the same thing. She doesn't care. She laughs. He laughs at this. It's Nietzsche. You know, what does not destroy me maims me. That's my favorite version. But no, but this is, look, Nick Fuentes is one too. I say, you have it. First of all, you can't sit there and say, and these Jews and the bank, why are you doing this? Be loved first. Hit him with, now this guy.
Well, okay.
Benny Shapiro. Ben, what happened to him?
This is where I become a hypocrite, right? Because this is where I go, hey, I'm friends with everybody. And you bring up Ben Shapiro and I go, okay, well, all right. There's a couple. There's a few I'm not on, that are not on my side necessarily. So maybe I'm a hypocrite after all.
He could be a nice, he could be a nice guy.
It's probably
listen,
great
for example, if I said, Ben, what the hell's the matter with you? If he said, you know how much I got paid? You know how much I got paid doing this? No, seriously. You know how much I got paid last month? Hell, I'll do it too. I'll deny gravity. You know, once they give you $1 million, you say, you know, come to think of it. I mean, I can see you wearing the payas and the kippah and the whole bed doing the habanagil and the, oh, listen, if you're going to sell your soul, sell it. But see, a lot of these people are really kind of, if you meet them, anybody who does this has got to be a little bit, a little mashugana. No, but a little, you know, you're ostentatious. You can't take yourself too seriously because you're doing this. You put yourself out every single day. You want to tell people this. And we're a very weird breed. Can I tell you something? A true fact. I've never listened to a radio show in my life. I used to work at WABC years ago with Rush Limbaugh on the 74 right there. I never heard his show. I never heard anybody's show. I don't like talk radio. I when I say this, it's like, it's okay. It's commercial. I know what they're going to say. It's like, oh, okay, I know. It's like my music. I don't really want to hear top 40. And sometimes it's like top 40 news. The only show I ever listened to was Alex. Mm. I used to love it. I loved it. See, that was, let me ask you, what was your red pill moment? See, that's what we call it in this business. Your red pill moment.
The red pill moment. That there, it was, I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was, September 11th, 2001 when I was in sixth grade. Yeah. And, you know, I was lucky. One, my best friend at the time in middle school, he's a Lebanese Christian guy. So all through the 2006 war against Lebanon, I mean, I was getting this sort of Lebanese perspective, which is how I came to sort of understand the Middle Eastern paradigm. And that's informed, you know, where I stand now. But yeah, absolutely. You know, starting with September 11th, watching Loose Change, that was a red pill moment, yeah. Big time.
Dylan Avery.
Yep.
Dylan Avery was absolutely, and I met Dylan at this event one time at the Cooper Union. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
My pet goat. Look at this. Look at Andy Card comes in and says, and we got a problem here. Now this yep. was one, and here I am. I'm in New York.
Right.
Tuesday morning. I was there. Stayed there. I saw stuff. New people. Firefighters that died. It was wild. It was being on a movie set.
Right.
And I said, and by the way, you were in sixth grade. I was 43. Huh? But still, it doesn't matter. I thought about myself, oh my God. And I was the one saying, you see what this is. And at first I didn't know. Let me tell you my moment. This was my moment. Not my moment, but I was a babe in the woods. I never understood about conspiracy theories. I understood I was a lawyer. I understood the conspiracy, but I didn't know the stigma about it. I didn't know the name, you know, conspiracy theory. So what happened was I was on the air and somebody said, yeah, about Flight 93. I said, just a minute. And I didn't know the numbers yet. I wasn't really sure all the moving parts. Just happened. Yeah, I was kind of new to this because we're just, so I said, just a minute. So I'm looking on Google for the pictures. I said, just a minute. Flight 93. I said, what happened to Flight 90? Cause they didn't know. I said, oh, Shanksville. Oh yeah. I'm looking. I'm saying, and I see you can see that we got the picture of that. Your team. They're still reading glue. They do.
There you go. Look at that.
This is a plane, yep. 6-ton titanium engines. Cars. I don't know what that is.
That's a house.
That's a house. I thought it was like a shell. That's it. And there's something. And
that's
this plane was absorbed everything. Wheels, luggage carts, luggage, people,
yeah.
Wings. Again, 6-ton titanium. The engines cannot blow up, and it went straight down and it was absorbed in the ground because, you know, they do a lot of mining. Somebody actually told me this. Wait a minute. So anyway, so I'm explaining this and I said, excuse me. I said, where is the plane?
Right.
And I said this on the air. Look at this. See this? Plane's gone. That's it. There's a plane. I guess. So I said, where's the plane? And somebody in the air said to me, what are you getting at? I said, what do you mean? What am I getting at? Look at that. What are you getting at? What am I getting at? Now I do some information about 6 to 8 miles away at a place called New Baltimore in Indian Lake. That's where the debris field is. About 6 to 8 miles away. Gee, sounds to me like either that plane blew up or shot down. I don't know, but there ain't no plane there. But wait, as we say in QVC, but wait, there's more. They put up an obelisk or something and these people go there and they, Trump, Obama, and they're like praying, go, what the hell are you looking at? There's nothing. It's like the gun. It's like Tyler's gun. They didn't shoot the gun. There's nothing. What are you looking at? There's nothing there. Go to New Ball. It's over there. And they're saying, this is terrible. How about this? Let's roll. Todd Beamer. Let's roll. Now here, how do we know he said, let's roll? We're on the plane. A minute. Yeah, do me a favor. Can you call somebody, record this? Tell them I'm saying, let's roll. Cause we're going to be going down pretty soon. Can you? Who heard let's roll? Who said, and he said let's roll. How did you hear this?
These are the questions. These are the questions that get you in trouble, Lana. You're supposed to accept this stuff unquestioningly.
And this is Harrison, this is 25 years ago. And I can't, 3 feet off the ground now, United. Hello. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yep.
Who are these people talking to? Anyway, so they supposedly said, come on, let's go. Let's command that. Let's go in and let's do this thing. And they knew where everybody was, and they went straight down, and they knew the story. And I said, this doesn't make any sense. How about the Pentagon? How about they knew who the guy was? Hani Hanjour, who left, what, a 16-foot diameter, 6 feet off the ground? I mean, the stories. And what do we do? That was almost like a beta test. Is it? You think they'll buy this?
Yeah.
Nah, let's see if they do. All right, fine. And then it was just, here's my, so anyway, so they thought I was crazy. I said, I'm in New York. What are you talking about? Then this, hey, look. And then we heard Building 7. Remember that poor BBC woman? And now the Brown, what's it called? The Harriman Brothers building, the whatever, no, the
Solomon.
Solomon, yeah. So it's, oh, it's fallen. And there's, you remember that? The exit, not so fast, honey.
Yeah.
Where is she now? We don't even know where she is. She's like on a gulag, lobotomized somewhere. Who is she? She's gone. She was prescient-phatic. She was right. Pythonic. She, and it was one thing after another.
Yeah.
And I said, what? He said, well, you know, see, Harrison, there's a, see right there? That's a debris. See, the building next door, what was it hit by anything? That's free fall. That means that all of the resistance, all right, you know the story.
Well,
so
but
that,
yeah,
I'm thinking about.
I get where you're going. Absolutely.
No. So that's why today I'm, and I'm crazy.
Well, but the,
I'm
but
being
this,
gaslighted.
But it hasn't stopped. I mean, you go to the Charlie Kirk murder, and it's like, well, hold on. There's some questions here that we have that aren't being sufficiently answered. But then there's the trouble of you go down the rabbit hole, and suddenly it's, you know, it's people, well, the planes never existed. It was a hologram. It was all this. And it's like, well, okay, how do we not follow the prescribed path, but we don't just go wandering off in the woods, right? How do we stay on track here?
Well, let me also say something, too, with all due respect. Some of the craziest people, I went to one of these 9/11 things. I think of the 5th anniversary. These people are out of their minds. So I said, that's okay. Ever go to a MUFON thing with UFOs? Oh, man. That's another one. See, there has to be, I'm kind of evidentiary. It's like, well, you know, could there be? Could we maybe be the only people in the world? Maybe we are. I don't. I just, let me see, because I'm evidence-based. But if I've got, let me see, 20,000 people, I've got folks who see play go like this, and, you know, I'm not necessarily jumping into the Star Trek phenomenon.
Right.
But I'm just common sense. Here's another one, too, that drove me crazy. Geoengineering, they call it. Chemtrails, Dane Wigington, God bless this man.
Amen.
God bless him. And I said, well, I have talked to him so many times before, but I said, Dane, what am I talking? They're spraying this. I'm no expert in this. Look at this. I live, when the sun goes down on a sleepy little town, little China Grove for you. Now, when I look out and I see, man, I see the Hudson River. Look at this.
Yep.
Hudson River. That's water vapor. I looked at the Hudson River, and when the sun hits it, I mean, it looks like octothorpes, like yep. Tic-tac-toe hashtags. And I said, where'd the sun go? In fact, what everybody remembers, yeah, that's just condensation. Whatever remembers on 9/11, it was the clearest, most beautiful day you've ever seen in your life. There was not a cloud in the sky. It was so blue that day. Now look at this. Now they say, well, see what happens, Harrison. You got them planes. You see them B-52 movies, right? And what happens is the heat, see, that's just water vapor. And water vapor spreads out and blots out the sun, see?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when it's cold and you breathe and you get that, you see that, you come back an hour later and it's still there.
That's right. Sometimes it cuts like, off hard, you know, cut off too.
And blocks the sun and spreads over a block. I mean, but I'm not going to give up. You're not going to stop me. And then with all due respect, and I love different faiths, then people will tell me their religious beliefs, and I'm saying, let me just say one thing. God bless you. No pun intended, but you don't question that, do you? No, of course not. Okay. All right. Mm. All right. I don't know about you, but my God would say, please question me. Please.
Right.
Please. I'm not a cartoon character. Question me.
The
I'm
truth
real.
Doesn't fear investigation.
I know. I don't understand it. It's like, can you imagine that? You marry a girl and say, honey, I love you. Just do me one favor. Don't ever ask me if I love you. Don't ever question. What? Just right. Don't do it. Don't ever show me you don't have faith in me. The hell with that. You know, but we fight it. And we might disagree with some things. We might, for example, you know, listen, let me ask you a question. Maybe I shouldn't do this. But is there a topic where you say, you know what, I know technically this is important. I just don't care. It's not my thing. Like, I know people who say, I don't care about UFOs. I really don't. And I know people say, I'm not saying, God bless you. Just God bless you. I just don't. It's not my thing. Okay. Do you have anything like that? Where you just figure,
I'm sure I do. But I can't think of it right now because it's unimportant to me. But, yeah, probably
you're
UFOs.
Scared because Alex will kill you because the man's out of his mind and he'll suffocate you.
No, he's out of town. No, we can say whatever we want.
God bless him. You know, the first time I met him, can I tell you a story?
Please.
There was a group called Talkers Magazine. Talkers Magazine was the preeminent, as probably is, the preeminent talk radio magazine, because talk radio was all, and let me tell you something, it was great in the old days. It was really good before everybody wanted to be Rush Limbaugh. Anyway. And so I said, you gotta get Alex Jones on, please. And I knew the publisher. I said, okay. I said, and I've got to introduce him. Yes. So he gets there and I said, where is he? Is he in? It was on Third Avenue. He's in there. I said, good. So I walked in and Alex looked at me like, who the hell are you? I said, Alex, I'm going to introduce you. I never met him before. I said, you are in good hands, my friend. Don't think I'm going to sandbag you. Trust me. So I walked out with these talk radio veterans all over the place. And I didn't go over very well with them because this was basically my speech.
Look at that.
Oh, there we go. You suck. You people are living in a delusion. That might have been it. That might have been the moment. That could very well be it. Yep. Maybe that was. I don't know. But anyway, I said, this was it. That looks like it. I said, you don't understand what's going on. And they don't like that either. I said, you're living in a world right now. This is not the future. This is the present. Do you know that I had to explain to them what podcasting means? I was like one of the first podcasters because I saw this as clear as day. I said, this is the most fascinating stuff you've ever. There is not a show where you're going to say, what? I didn't know things about globalism. I didn't know about the look. I didn't know this. He talks about stuff at Illuminati, and this is like, Illuminati, who? Is that the Frankie Valli group? Who's the Illuminati? I don't know who these people are. I learned more. This guy predicts, look at this. Think I'm, I was telling you people are full of it. This guy predicted 9/11. There we go. That's it. That was the one. Bless his heart. That was the, and he let him have it. And I said, by the way, one more thing he does to you. I said, what Alex will do is he'll say, now you understand something here now that, you see, popcorn causes your testicles to shrink. And he'll say, you know, this guy. And then next thing you know, he pulls these papers out. There's that camera and he's got him in circles.
We've got
popsicles
the documents.
Cause your testicles.
We've got the documents.
Mayo Clinic, Harvard University. How does this guy do this? Where does he get this from? He doesn't just make it up. He doesn't just, I mean, he is, and sometimes I think he's like Elmer Gantry. He's like a preacher. He's excited. And I thought, well, good.
That's what you need.
He's not George Will. And thank God. Listen to read a transcript of what he says. No, I've always 100%. Anybody who scares people that much. I love him.
That was always my position. Like, I'm not the type of guy to take a bullhorn and go, you know, yell at a group of elites in their hotel. But God, but I'm so glad he's doing it. I'm like, he's doing it for me.
Wait a minute. The best one ever was who was it? Was it Jim Tucker? Bilderberg?
Oh yeah. The interview. You are not a gentleman, sir.
Well, when he walked up, how about the best one when he gets, about Bohemian Grove. But he gets him and nails him, he goes, hurry, you shouldn't have done that. And Alex is like this. What about the burning owl? What's his name, David? You know what I'm talking about,
I know the interview you're talking, yeah, that's there it is right there.
There we go, this guy. Look at this crew, how fast they are.
We're running through the ringer today.
Gergen, David Gergen.
Gergen, yes, exactly. Yeah, and he always sounded
like he was being choked. It was like, nice comb over, pal. And Get a wig.
It's great because he obviously deploys the methods that work on other people where he says, you are not being a gentleman. You made an agreement, sir. Are you breaking your agreement? And Alex is like, I'm breaking the agreement, bro.
So is it true? I mean, wait, agreement what, to be true? And when you told people and you said, now listen, they got these people, see, and they all meet. And they meet at a restaurant. Remember Chantilly, Virginia? What they do is they go in one day. Remember Jim Tucker was terrific. And then they go and they tell these poor bastards, guess what? You got to leave. Why? All of a sudden these people come in, the Loganite. I knew none of this stuff.
Yep.
So I want to go out and I want to tell people. And they're looking at me and they go, what the hell are you talking about? The Bilderberg group. Then what they said, you're wrong. You're lying. And then what happened? Boom. What happens? They have a website.
They give out the minute notes. They say, here's what we're studying. Here's what we're talking about, which is so funny to me because so now you can't deny that it happens. You just have to believe it's good for summer. You have to believe that these billionaires, the kings and queens are coming together in secret. Yeah, they're meeting and deciding the future of the world, but it's because they love you and they're doing their best for you. It's crazy. It was easier when they pretended it didn't exist.
Yeah, look. Now, I don't know about you, but seriously, you seem like a rational person. If somebody told me, hey, you want to go to the Bohemian Grove? Yeah, okay, what is it? We got this big old aisle, see? What? We light this aisle on fire. You dance around the woods.
Simple, good old-fashioned pagan mock sacrifice. You've been to one of those, right?
How about... You tell me, eyes wide shut is impossible. Tell me this. I gotta tell you something. Human beings, I'm a member of a fraternity. And we didn't do, people said, well, it was good. Like, we have like a rope. We didn't do anything. It was fun. We just drank a lot. But it was fun. Candle, a rope. People like that. We have like a handshake and this and that. Boy Scout. We're all part of groups. We love being a part of groups. I'm a retired Catholic. Oh, we had we had stuff. St. Blaise, the two candles in the throat. We had stuff that was wild. And we had ceremonies that looked kind of like that. We had incense, and this one guy came up one time with a mop and water. He's throwing water at us. And anyway, so that's what we do. We have colors. We shake hands. We wear pins. So humans do this to an extent. Everybody does that, from the junior league to whatever. So I understand the propensity, the proclivity and the predilection and the predisposition of human beings to, how's that for alliterative? So we do that. But this is a different story. They do it. They hide it. They do it in the wide open. And they basically describe, they're saying, you're not running your country. We're running your country. Screw you. And that's why when Trump came along, I said, oh, God, what's the matter? Oh, this poor bastard. What? He wasn't raised in this. He doesn't know. He thinks, you know what? Let's see how long he can do this. There's skull and bones. Yeah. Let's see how long he can do this because he thinks he can make a difference. Good luck. And then, because other people who are part of either the deep state or the shadow government, when you're there long enough, you know there's only so much I can do.
Right.
There's only so much I can do when you get to the point. Listen, I'm still, understand something, my frame of reference. I was 5 years old when Kennedy was assassinated. My mother was crying. I said, what the hell is going on here? This is my 5 years old. I remember I'm not going to kindergarten. I go, what is this? They killed Kennedy. What? I was a kid. Why? Five. And my mother's crying because what is going on with this? It was during As the World Turns. People remember that. So from 63 to 68. So 5 to 10 years old, it was JFK, RFK, MLK, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, and then I got into Watergate and Vietnam and everything else.
Oh, and that whole time you have the bombing campaigns and the Weather Underground. You look back at that history and you go, whoa, man, things were way crazier than they are now back then. It was nuts.
Let me tell you what happened to me. We were so hip. I was in like elementary school and I had a POW bracelet. We were like, we worried about this stuff. And I had this guy's name. He came back. He was a general. He was like, and he wrote me a letter. I'm back. Thank you. I was like, we're a kid. Today kids are like, we were into music and, we actually talked to each other and we had handshakes and signatures. And it was a different world completely. And then, I never understood it. One first time I went to Washington and I saw the Vietnam Memorial, that wall you see?
With all
I
thought
names. That was it. That's one. Yeah. It's like there's millions of walls. I said, what's all this? This is how stupid I am. That's the walls. You mean there's more? Oh my God.
And it goes on
this
forever.
This went on every, and we sat there and we, Harrison, we still don't know. So like you said, it's always been like this, but I'm not giving up.
It's always going to be like this. The fight goes on. Lionel Media on X, at Lionel Media, Lionel Nation on YouTube. Incredible stuff. We could talk for hours.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if. It's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.